107 on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you till 5 a.m. Roger Badish in the newsroom. Jess Rains behind the glass. Sorry, Roger, we didn't have control, so we weren't able to play the commercials. We'll get to those momentarily. Are you there, Roger? I don't have a TV up with Roger on. Roger, walk away. It's going to be one of those nights, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Call in, text in all night long. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to tell you an amazing, amazing story from World War II much later in the show. As Roger just reported, the Red Sox and Dodgers are still playing in the 14th inning. It's the bottom of the 14th now. Dodgers have a runner on base but two outs. The Red Sox took the lead in the 13th. The Dodgers were down to their last out in the bottom of the 13th. They had a runner on second because with one out, a runner popped up in foul territory and the player who made the catch fell into the crowd after he made the catch. So the runner on first got to advance to second. Yasiel Puig was up then with two outs, and I thought, well, okay, Dodgers will either win the game here or they will lose the game here because it's pretty much all or nothing with Yasiel Puig. He hit a ground ball to second base, looked like game over. Ian Kinsler, who was playing second for the Red Sox, kind of stumbled, threw the ball wide, and Puig beats it out, and the runner on second, who was going because there were two outs and running hard, comes all the way around to score. You wonder, if you've been following the World Series at all, Manny Machado, who's on the Cubs' radar, who's probably going to get like a $300 million contract. The two big free agents, of course, are Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. Machado has already gotten some heat in the playoffs, one for stepping on the back foot of the Brewers' first baseman in that series, another for not running out a ball, not running hard down the line on a ground ball. And I think he was asked about it, and he said something along the lines with, that's not really my game, I'm not Johnny Hustle, or something like that. And this was a ground ball that Kinsler made. Machado probably would have been jogging. Kinsler would have taken his time and thrown to first and gotten the out. But Puig, and there's enough bad things to be said about Puig over the years, he was hustling hard down the line. Kinsler makes a bad throw. Tie it back up. Now we're going into the 14th. I think we're now going into the 15th inning. Dodgers just made an out. We'll go to another inning. Tied 2-2. I think now, and Jess will have to look this up for us, Jess, I think this might now be the longest game in World Series history by innings. And I know that sounds crazy because they're only going into the 15th inning, but I heard them talking about the longest games, and I swear they were only going to the 13th inning. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think one of the 13-inning games was actually between these two organizations. It was, of course, the Boston Red Sox. It was the Brooklyn Robins before they became the Brooklyn Dodgers. And I didn't even know I never even knew the Brooklyn Dodgers were somebody before they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, that's backed up. What you're looking at online is not updated. They're actually going into the 15th inning, I think, Jess. But anyways, look up for us longest games in World Series history. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up on the show tonight. We're going to talk about Khalil Mack. David Haugh had a very interesting column in the Tribune saying Mack should just play through his injuries. I disagree with that. We'll talk about that a little bit. Talk about your Bears this weekend. I want to talk a little bit, because it's that time, about Halloween. Oh, this is why I can't talk to Roger. Now he's coming in as Mr. Potato Head. Do you have a fan attached to that?
Yes,
I'm hearing a fan.
Yes.
Hold on, let me get the right
Patty. Patty said, am I on the right? There we
yeah,
go.
You are.
There's no holes in this because it's airtight. So I'm yelling.
So Roger just wedges his way through the door in his blow up Mr. Potato, which is really an awesome outfit. And Mr. Potato Head, which has an attached fan. So you're on a battery pack?
Yeah. Yeah, a battery pack. I had to bum some batteries off of somebody.
What's it take? Double A's?
Double A's.
Yeah. And how long will that last?
Oh, well, I don't know. I haven't tried to see how long it would last.
I guess we're going
to
find out.
But it gets very hot in here.
Really? Even with the fan blowing air constantly?
Well, the fan's just blowing just enough air to keep it full. It's not cooling me off. So, and everything is sealed. The wrists are tight. The feet are tight around the ankles.
Gosh.
And Yeah, earlier when I put it together, I forgot my eyebrows. They're Velcro, so the different parts.
Actually, do you have different parts? Can you change what he looks like?
Yeah, you want to change? Here, I'll come around.
My gosh.
Here.
Now, this is a good Mr. Potato Head. It's really hard for you to walk around, though, so I can
take a seat.
Oh, he just took his nose and his mustache off. Just ripped right off.
Yeah, it's got Velcro.
And then the eyebrows go on.
Yeah.
And so do you have, like, what else? Do you have different smiles that can go on?
No, it just came with
just came with what you have on.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not like Mr. Like you could.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Because you could put an angry face on. I think the real Mr. Potato Head, right? Different eyebrows, different eyes.
I think Patty tried it earlier and they looked angry.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that's a good outfit.
And the problem is, let me go back to the other mic.
Yes,
please. I don't know if that helps anything.
See if you can get over there. I think we're going to have medical staff.
I don't know if you could hear me. Okay,
tonight.
So the problem is,
oh my gosh,
I knew I was getting this, so I edited some of the audio of the Potato Head from the Toy Story movies.
Sure.
Problem is, I can't
hit the buttons.
Buttons on my cell phone with these hands.
Oh, that is too funny.
So
that is gorgeous. Now, Jess dressed up. I was dressed up when I got here.
That's what
we
I
came
heard.
To try to take a picture of you, but you're drinking with Pete McMurray a minute before the newscast. And I had to take mine off because it's hot as heck. So
yeah,
we'll have to figure out. We'll get a long commercial break at some point.
Yeah, because I can't do the news like this.
No. We'll figure out a commercial break at, like, why don't we plan on the 150-ish commercial break.
Oh, this thing takes forever to put on and off.
Well, so after the 1:30 news,
okay,
load back up. And we'll combine a break, and around 140, 150,
okay,
we'll come in and we'll take a quick picture. Because I'll throw mine on real quick.
Okay.
All right. Good to see you, Mr. Potato Head.
Ah, you hockey puck, you.
That's actually a really good costume. Where did you order that? Online?
Yeah.
Where at?
I forgot.
Okay.
It was just, I looked for Halloween costumes, new costumes.
Roger just looked up new Halloween costumes.
And I saw them.
And he found it online. So it's a Mr. Potato Head that's actually blown up with a fan. And it looks really, it looks like it's tough to walk around in. It's tough to get through doorways. It might be a little bit, now can you see decently well, though?
Oh, yeah, I can see through the hat.
Yeah, through the hat there's a big plastic, or you know, like, I don't know.
It's a clear plastic, as opposed to a black plastic.
Like a hard version of the laundry, dry cleaner bags. But it's hard. It's solid, so you can see through that. And actually, it goes side to side. You probably have decent peripheral vision through it, too.
Oh, yeah. I can, because you got to be able to turn and see what you're bumping into.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And actually, I was just trying to put this on, and as I'm pulling it onto my feet, because it's so tight down there, I ripped the top of the zipper.
It almost looks like one of those sumo wrestling things that people put on. But I'm guessing there's maybe a false sense of security in this. Since this is just blown up by a small fan. If you toppled over, it probably wouldn't truly protect you, right? You'd probably still hit the
ground. I'd probably blow out the zipper.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I had one drink too. Okay,
hi. See you in a little while.
We'll see you in a little bit, Roger. Roger's going to amble his way back to the newsroom. If we're lucky, he's there by the 1:30 news. Yes, Jessica. You're not on the radio. Let me turn you up. There you go.
So if you do get warm when you put your gorilla suit back on, Roger has a little portable fan in this thing that's running.
I know. That's what's keeping it going. But if he takes that out, he deflates. So I can't really and he said it doesn't keep him cool.
Oh.
It's just blowing hot air.
I was just trying to provide suggestions.
I do appreciate that. That I have a gorilla suit and that you can't see out of hardly at all. And it's old and musty and gross. I'll tell you the story about it in a minute. Chris is on 720 WGN. He already called in. Hey, Chris, how are you this morning?
Hey, Matt. How are you?
Good, man. What's going on?
You know, I've listened to you for a long time on Friday nights. First time I ever seen you guys on computer. And it's a great night.
you're talking about Jessica now, aren't you?
Yeah, we can say that. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I had a feeling when you said Jess is dressed up as a referee, but a referee with a cute, tight outfit and skirt on. So
no.
Yes, you are. What do you call that?
Well, it was initially a dress, but I wash it and then a trunk. So
so it went from
hey, that outrules Mr. Potato Head anytime.
Yeah.
So then it was cold, so I made it functionable and I put leggings underneath of underneath it.
It's a good thing you wear the leggings.
I also have my whistle.
Fantastic.
And she brought a ball.
There you go. What more can you ask for? You got Mr. Potato Head and a goalie. There you go.
And a goalie, yes. Well, no, it's a referee. She's wearing a referee jersey, which doesn't make sense.
You're not okay, playing. Referee of what? Referee. Which sport, Matt?
Well, she says soccer. Although I've never seen, like, sexy soccer referee. Is that how it's sold, Jess? What was the title of that costume?
I think it was technically some referee or something, yeah. But I justified it, and yes. I brought a soccer
DIY'd
ball.
It herself. Chris, are you going out trick-or-treating this year? Are you going to any Halloween parties or anything like that? Will you dress up?
No, actually, I'm working for someone who has kids that wants to go trick-or-treating.
Oh, so you'll take the kids trick-or-treating?
No, I'm going to work so they can take their kids trick-or-treating.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, that's very nice of you. That is a short time of life. Do you have kids, Chris?
Yeah, I do. They're grown.
They're grown, yeah. Do you miss that a little bit?
Yeah, I do, man. It was really cool to walk around the neighborhood. And,
yeah.
My best friend is, he does crazy Halloween stuff in his yard. I mean, he's just, he could have been like in the movies with all the stuff he builds and little horror houses. And yeah, he's really good at stuff like that.
That's so cool. I miss it too. My youngest now are 13, and I think only one or two of them are even planning on dressing up, and they certainly don't want that.
I need help with my zipper. God.
Oh, dear God.
That's code, and I'm not answering that call.
You know, Matt, last year I had like some kids ring the doorbell. They were like 15, 16 years old. I just looked at them and said, no.
Did
just closed
you
the
really?
Door.
Were they in costume?
Yeah. Nope.
Okay. See, now that's interesting, and I'd love to hear from people on this, 312-981-7200. I'm okay with teenagers still trick-or-treating, but there's got to be just a little effort. Don't show up at my house, not dressed up at all, with your pillowcase, just because the neighborhood's giving out free candy.
That's what it was. Exactly.
There is a service to be rendered here. You have to show up. I have to go, oh, that's pretty cool, or oh, okay, then I give you candy. If you just show up like some jerk, like, hey, give me candy. But
that's what it was. I just opened the door and I'm like, what? And they're like, oh, it's trick or treat. I'm like, get out of here. No, close the door. That's it.
Now,
I'm done.
Were you worried at all that at some point eggs show up at your house for doing that? Or were you like, you know what, screw those kids. I'll take them on if they come back.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's my one hesitation on not giving the teenagers the candy is, those bastards going to come back later in the night and screw this up.
All right, Matt. Well, you have a great show, man. It was really good to see you guys.
Thanks, man. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend. That was Chris. And by the way, everybody, we don't talk about it much, but if you go to WGNradio.com, you can do the Watch Live feature. And there's cameras, I think, on all of us, right, Jess? I know there's one on you in there. There's one on me in here. There's one on Roger. I think there's like four or five cameras going on at the time.
I see you. I see Roger trying to get his costume off at the moment.
Is he still working on it?
Yeah, he is.
I don't have...
He's struggling.
News in 10 minutes, Roger. You better get it going. I don't have Roger on the TV because I've got... Well, I've got, you know, the news channels on in the background on some of the TVs. But then I've got this... Dodgers game, Dodgers Red Sox game on the other one. They're in the top of the 15th now, and the Red Sox got runners on first and second with nobody out. They bunted to try to get second and third, and the Dodgers made a great play and got the force at third. So still runners on first and second and one out in the World Series. We're still figuring out. Jess, are you still looking up if this is the longest World Series game ever by inning?
I'm looking. The last article that I found was outdated. It was in the 13th inning.
No, I know, but you need to look up what is the longest World Series game. That's all I need you to look up. Look up what is the longest World Series game.
Time or in innings?
In innings. Because by time doesn't make any sense because it's totally skewed because now there's 8-minute commercial breaks between innings in the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Which don't get me on that rant. It's like you want kids to love this game. You want more kids to be involved. Your biggest games of the year... You make 4 hours long for a 9-inning game because of the commercial breaks. I know you got to make your money, but you are scaring off all these kids that maybe would watch the game. They're not going to, you know, think about it. On the East Coast, it's 2:20 a.m.
Yeah.
How many Red Sox fans are up actually watching this game?
I bet you a lot.
I bet you not the ones that are 8-12.
Well, because it's Saturday now, so it doesn't matter. It's a weekend.
I know, but even though mom and dad say, yeah, it's fine. How many kids can actually make it if they're 6 to 12 years old?
Oh, yeah.
Till 2:20 in the morning.
Yeah.
They're popping Red Bulls.
Yeah. 6-year-old.
I think I have the answer.
Yes, Jessica.
It says the Pawtucket Red Sox and the Rochester Red Wings, the two teams from the AAA International League, played the longest game in professional baseball history.
That is not what we're looking for, though.
It lasted 33 innings.
Wow.
With 8 hours and 25 minutes
of playing.
You have
to look up what is the longest World Series game.
Yeah,
look
up that's World what I...
That's not. No, that's not the World Series, though. Those are minor league teams.
Google failed me. I'm sorry, man.
User error. You millennials should know better how to work that internet thing. All right, we have to take a break because we missed our news break, and then we'll come back. We'll update you on the thing, meaning the game. But I am interested to stay just for a minute. I'll ask Roger what he thinks. When we come back, when teenagers show up at your door for Halloween, what is the feeling and what do you do? Let's talk about that. 312-981-7200. Bapu Bala with you all. 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Roger, did you successfully get out of Mr. Potato Head?
Yeah, I have, and tried to ineffectively repair the small tear at the top of the zipper.
Texter from 708 in all caps. OMG, poor Roger, LOL. I think they're watching on the cams, and you're having some issues.
I was, okay. And I was just trying to put some tape on it.
You're taping,
you know. Well, there's nothing else up there. I'm not going to put staples in it because it has to be airtight.
That probably wouldn't help. Yeah.
Yeah. So, being the brilliant individual that I am, it has taken me 3 hours to figure out two things.
Okay.
About this costume. One, once it fills up with air, I don't have to have the fan on anymore.
Oh.
I don't think.
Oh, well, you'll have to try that next time.
In other words, would the air start to escape out through the fan?
Right.
Because it's in the lining.
Oh, interesting.
And two, instead of battling, trying to get my stubby little Mr. Potato Head arms around to the back of the costume while it's full, just pull my arm through the sleeve and let the air escape like a dummy so that I then can reach around and undo the zipper.
Too funny. Okay.
This is a comedy of terror.
Yes. Well, as it should be. It's Halloween. For
Halloween,
sake.
Sure.
Don't forget, at after your 1:30 news, you got to start filling back up again because we're going to take a little bit longer of a break around 1:50.
Okay.
And then Jess and I will come in and we'll get some pictures taken.
All right,
okay?
Sounds good.
I'll get my gorilla costume back on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Roger, and by the way, if you're keeping track with us, bottom of the 15th, the Red Sox just got out of a huge jam.
No, the Dodgers did. Yeah.
Dodgers did. They had runners on first and second, nobody out. Red Sox bunted to get the runners to second and third. Dodgers pitcher made a great play off the mound, got the force at third.
Yeah.
Then he got I think another strikeout, and then
a strikeout at the end.
Strikeout a guy to end the inning on a pitch that was outside of the zone.
Even though the catcher pulled it in.
The guy did not swing at it. And
well,
I don't know if
he
the umpire
started to.
He did, but he held up. He did held up. If it was appealed at first, they would have said he didn't go.
And he didn't appeal.
The umpire called him, and I don't know if the umpire was saying that was a strike or saying you went around. I'm not sure on that.
Yeah.
But the Red Sox player was, like, beside himself.
Oh,
not happy
about that. Yeah.
So that's the type of thing that happened. So we're now in the bottom of the 15th. Jess, did you look up, do you have an answer for us on the longest World Series game?
I'm still looking.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Texter from 708.
We're talking about very important things.
We have to go to Librarian Roger here.
Producer things.
708 says, hi, Matt. Longest World Series game, September 11th, 1946. Reds against the Brooklyn Dodgers. 19 innings called because of darkness. Thank you, Carol.
Longest World Series game ever.
By innings, not by time.
Although
this is probably getting up there in time. Even if there was a 19-inning game, because they didn't take 6-minute commercial breaks back then.
Okay, longest World Series game, closing in on most innings.
And by the way,
I'm
guessing there's no chance Larry King has made it this far.
Wait a minute, SB Nation, 18 minutes ago, Dodgers-Red Sox game is officially the longest game in World Series history.
By innings or by time?
If you stayed up for duration Friday night... they're doing
it by time.
Oh, wait a minute, by inning. 14 innings happened three other times. 1916, Game 2, the last time these two teams played in the Fall Classic.
Right.
2005, Game 3, and 2015, Game 1.
Well, I wonder what...
and it's,
well, you know what, and I'm going to say, Carol, who said it was the Reds versus the Brooklyn Dodgers, I don't think you're right, Carol, because my assumption is the Reds and Brooklyn Dodgers have always been National League teams. So that doesn't make sense. And actually, also, September 11th would have been a regular season game.
It would have. Well, no, yeah, it would have. Yeah, it would have. Even
well
in the olden days before
yeah.
they extended the schedule. Yeah.
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 So, Carol, I think you're wrong on that one, but I appreciate you looking it up for us.
And
so
again, this is from SB Nation.
So we are now saying that by inning, this is the longest World Series game ever.
Mm-hmm. By one inning. And actually, they're still in the 15th inning, but it went past the 14th. They're at 14 and a half innings, basically, right now. So, and by time, also, the longest previous game came in at 5 hours and 41 minutes. And this thing started at
7:30
something, first pitch?
I think so. Or was it 7? I'm not sure. Maybe it was at 7. 7:05, 7:10, something like that.
All right.
Excuse me, I'm not 100% sure on that, but what a long night for everybody working.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
At Dodger Stadium.
And they got to come back. Their next game is tonight.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And if they've used every pitcher they have, which I'm sure the Dodgers are, to try to extend it.
The guy that's in for the Red Sox right now, Eovaldi, is on he's thrown 56 pitches. I'm not sure if he's a reliever or a starter that it hasn't been used or what's going on, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wonder at what point do we see a position player
come throw on.
Or a pitcher
in
have
a
to play
series?
In the field. Well, if you run out of your guys, what are you going to do?
I know. Uh-oh.
The Dodgers might have just ended it.
Uh-oh.
It also might be foul. It's foul.
Right? Yeah, it looks like.
Or is it fair?
Wait a minute. It's fair.
They're cheering.
No, wait a minute. They're waving their arms.
Oh, it's a foul,
ball.
Holy cow.
Wow. You can't tell with that foul pole.
Yeah,
where the camera
the
is set up.
The Dodgers down their right field line have a little piece that's only 330 feet. It curves in way back.
Yeah.
And Justin Turner.
Oh man, he just missed. By the way.
And in that game.
I know we love talking about
by
this.
Inches.
But I don't think we're supposed to be doing play-by-play.
Well, I'm not doing play-by-play.
Okay.
I'm just repeating what happened. Play-by-play would be saying it as it happens.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Just saying I'm reporting the news.
Yes, I'm reporting the news, which if you don't hurry up, I ain't getting back in this costume.
And I'm wrong. It wasn't Justin Turner. Oh, wait. Are we late for the news? Holy cow. It's 1:33 in the morning. Doggone it. All right. 1:33 in the morning, 312-981-72. I still want to ask you guys about teenagers and what you do when teenagers come to the door. So jump on in on the conversation. We'll talk more about it after we check the news. Here's Roger Badish. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where you've been. 312-981-7200 is our number. It's Matt Bubala here with you until 5 a.m. It's 1:39 in the morning. Thank you, Roger Badish, for the news. Jess is behind the glass. She'll answer the phone when you call that number, 312-981-7200. She'll give you a yellow card if you're not nice. Soccer joke.
I do have a whistle.
Prove it.
It's loud.
Is it a real whistle?
Yes,
let's
it's a real
it.
Whistle.
You don't have to do it right into the mic, but let's hear
Roger,
it.
Roger heard it earlier. Right, Raj?
Yeah, but she really wasn't putting her all into it.
Turn away from
because
the mic
because before
and let's
she
hear it.
Blew
Come
the
on.
Whistle, I kind of covered my ears and say don't.
No, it's loud.
Oh, my God. Jessica.
Okay.
Just blow the whistle.
Fine. Really?
Yes. She's getting far away from the mic. Really worried about how... That's a real whistle. That's a real thing, Raj.
I told you. I don't mess around on Halloween.
We're going to the 16th inning.
Roger's preparing.
And it wasn't Justin Turner. It was Muncy. Oh, is Roger blowing it up? I can't get Roger on any of my channels.
He is blowing it up.
I'm trying to, I think in the olden days, Roger would have been doing that by hand.
I don't know if he can talk to you right now.
Yeah. Okay. I won't bother him then. I won't bother him then. Jess, when is the last time you went, what was the oldest you were when you went trick-or-treating?
Today.
But you didn't really go, you can't go trick-or-treating today, but you were doing something for work with kids?
Yes, I was.
What were you guys doing?
We had a big Halloween fest. There was like 500 kids. It was hosted by the rec department. So there was several organizations that had tables set up, and you decorate the tables, and then parents and their kids come in, and then they go to each table and get candy, and then there's bouncy houses and music and all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
And I had a different costume for that.
What was, so you must have a lot of costumes, because you sent me a picture today when you were at work, and you were a dog.
Yes.
You had a nose on.
Yes.
And dog ears.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the extent of it, though.
Right.
Okay. And then what were you at the event this afternoon?
I was Hawaiian Punch. So I put on a bunch of like Hawaiian and hula stuff.
Okay.
And then I had a pink punching bag.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that picture. I didn't get that at all. You had on like a Hawaiian shirt and a lei and then a pink boxing glove.
Yeah, Hawaiian Punch.
So what the hell is that? Oh! Now I feel dumb. I should have gotten that. That's really good.
Jess costume.
That's really smart. Did you make that up yourself?
I did.
I'm impressed. That's really good. I should totally steal that.
I take my Halloween costumes very seriously.
You do. So next weekend, the kids' grade school is having a trivia night. I hosted it a few different years, and now I get to go just and have fun.
Can I go?
I'm excited about. You know what? If we hadn't just filled our table, I would invite you and Stefan to come with us.
Oh,
because
man.
We just filled up our table of 10. But you would have... No, you know what? I wouldn't have invited you. Here's why. Because I want to win. I know. Don't give me that look. Here's why. It's 80s trivia. The theme is 80s trivia. I don't think you would do very well with that at all.
Stefan would.
How old? He's not that old. How old is he?
30. But he's still... He's pretty good with trivia.
He was born in what, like 88?
Yeah.
Nah. Had to have lived through it, I don't think. So we're trying to figure out, there's a contest for decorating your table and things like that. And one of the friends that's organizing said we should all go as characters from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That would be cute.
That would be cute, but the characters aren't like that visual in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You know what I mean? I mean, they are, but they aren't. Roger is ambling back in again as Mr. Potato Head. You look a little limp there, Roger. I don't think your fan's working too well.
Oh, it's working. It just ain't working enough.
The fan can't keep up.
No.
Mr. Potato Head needs a little blue pill, it looks like. Poor Mr. Potato Head. Things ain't working like they used to.
Oh, Roger, move out of the way. I can't see pocket. Matt.
Wait a minute. Actually, I... never mind. I can't do it now.
What are you trying to do?
I wanted to get my phone out to play the recording.
Oh, you wanted to play your little Mr. Potato Head clips?
Yeah. Oh, there. can you actually hear me out of this thing?
I can.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you email them to Jess, and then she can play them later.
Well,
I still
got to get my phone out of my pocket.
Well, I'm not saying right now. I'm saying next time you deflate.
And if I take my hand out,
It looks like he's getting a little better. He's getting a little more solid.
Yeah. It's
good for him.
All right. Hold on a second now. Oh, my gosh. Look at all these tweets. Okay.
All right. Hey, we're on the air. Get off your phone. Roger.
I'm getting the sounds for you. It takes me like the, four and a half seconds.
The only sound we're hearing is the fan.
I know.
You need a more silent fan. Sounds like the hard drive's about to go
down.
But
it's all the way back in the back, and to me it sounds soft, you know? It doesn't sound loud.
So you're saying you got a fan up your tuchus? Is that what's going on here?
One might think so. I got to turn the audio.
Cool.
Hold on. I got to turn this on. Hold on. Okay. I got to do that. Hold on.
Yeah, it really took 4 seconds.
All right. 3.5 seconds. Here we go. Ready?
You would not believe what I've been through tonight.
How'd that
well, that
sound?
Was worth the wait. And it's my sentiment exactly, Mr. Rickles. Thank you.
Wait, let's try it again.
You would not believe what I've been through tonight.
Do we only have one?
No, I got six of them.
Okay. Oh, Roger.
They all sound the same, Roger.
Yeah, so far they sound similar.
Ah, you're a sight for detachable eyes.
Sight for detachable
eyes?
Yes,
that's very good.
Very good.
Did you record these off the TV? Is this like in your memo section of the phone?
I emailed them to myself. What is this one?
Oh, my gosh.
Where's my nose?
Where's my nose? Somebody. All right, hold on a second. I got to do this one, I think. Maybe not.
Gee, I got to shave.
I got to shave. I did shave today. All right, that's enough of that, Falderall.
Okay. Okay.
All right, what do we get? Let's do this picture.
We're
going to
do the picture in just a minute. Go ahead and go back. You know what? Head down towards the big Allstate sign in the other studio and grab Aubrey or Ben. And ask one of them, we'll take a picture. Okay, then grab Aubrey before he drinks more of Pete's liquor.
Saw that.
Get down there lined up, and when Justin and I go to break, we'll run down, okay?
Nobody better push me over and roll me down the hallway.
Oh, that would be fun. We could do bowling with Roger, and we could roll him. Especially, we have a nice downhill ramp on some of the hallways here. We could roll him down. We could set up pins.
That is true.
That would be fun.
That wouldn't be very nice, though.
Well, I don't know about that.
But anyway, back to your, I don't know if we have time to do it right now, but I have a couple comments on kids dressing up during Halloween.
Okay.
Some of the kids, the older teenagers that came, they didn't dress up. And I was like, where is your Halloween spirit?
So this was at the work event?
Yes.
So they still got candy either way.
Yes.
What if kids show up at your door on Wednesday, because Halloween is this Wednesday. If they show up and they don't have a costume on, will you still give them candy? I can't see you saying no to anybody, so I don't see. What about Stefan? What would he do?
He might say no.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a tough one. I'd love to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. Let's talk about this just for a few minutes as we head into the 2 o'clock news. And we'll ask Roger his opinion once we get him out of his spud suit. Do you give teenagers candy? And do your grandkids let their own teenagers still go out trick-or-treating? Like our son Jack, who's 17, if he says, yeah, I'm going to go trick-or-treating, I'm going to say, no, you're not. You're not allowed to go ring doorbells right now. You're not dressing up as anything. You're not doing that. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here until 5 a.m. Thanks for staying out all night with us, everybody. Whether you're getting in, getting up, getting to work, driving cross country, we appreciate you tuning in 720 on your AM dial or WGNradio.com on the web or on TuneIn or wherever, however you're listening to us. We appreciate you being here. Update on the World Series, bottom of the 16th, one out. First out by the Dodgers in that inning was a pop-up on the mound. Third baseman finally made the catch and fell over the mound. So nobody on and one out. Jess, I am so itchy now from that costume. Seriously. It's an old, old costume. I was telling Jess off the air that this gorilla suit that I have, and Jess will put up, send me that picture and I'll put it up on our Facebook fan page if you like the Matt Bubala Show on Facebook. We'll put up our picture there. It's our best picture ever, Raj.
How that nobody can see my face? That's why it's so good.
Because only Jess's face is in it.
Yeah.
So that's our best, that's probably going to be our best show photo ever.
Yeah, send me a copy too, because I'll put it on my Instagram and Twitter feed.
So I have this costume because like 3 years ago, we were celebrating 10 years of syndicating Steve Dale's national pet show. Jim and I decided, why don't we, this will be fun for the 10th anniversary. We'll have a little party at the studio, just the three of us. And I decided, why don't I dress up like scary, and we'll set up cameras all over the studio. And when Steve comes in, we'll have the lights out, and then I'll jump out and scare him.
Ooh.
So we set up like a camera in the hallway, camera outside, a camera inside, three cameras inside. We took like every camera we have, our GoPros, all of our stuff.
Right.
And we set up in different areas, and we had all the lights out when Steve walked in. And I'm dressed up in this gorilla. So I had gone to, there was a costume shop out by us out in Dundee in Algonquin area. And they were going, I forget if it was Fantasy Castle or what it was, but they were going out of business.
That would have been great.
And they weren't like about to go out of business, but they were planning on going out of business. So when I went to get the costume, I'm like, you know, I just like to rent this. She's like, well, you can rent it for $180 or you can buy it for $75. And I looked at her. She's like, we're going out of business. We want to get rid of this stuff. I'm like, well, then I'll buy it. So I bought it. And so I'm waiting on like a ladder in the studio for like 10 minutes for Steve to come in. I'm dying in this thing. I can't see. Finally, we hear him coming in. And of course, like, right before he turns the lights on, I jump and scream instead of waiting till right when he turns the lights on. He still screamed just a tiny bit, but I didn't really, really like get him. So I was disappointed in myself, but I got over anxious. But it was hard because you're waiting so long. You can't see anything. You can't breathe in that.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. I just got done doing that, and I didn't have to scare anyone. Boy, it was... I'm a bit spritzy right now.
I'll tell you what, though. This gorilla costume, while you can't see well out of it, if it was like one of these freezing Halloween nights, you had to walk the neighborhood, it'd be nice perfect. Oh, yeah. The suit itself is very warm. And it's actually, and I'm short, the costume is tight on my shoulders, like it's too short.
Huh?
So I was telling
Jess. It looked fine.
I was telling Jess if she wants to borrow it, it would work for her.
Yeah, looked fine to me.
Texter from 630 says, the donut lady of Elmhurst made fresh donuts for trick-or-treaters for over 50 years.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. When we first moved to West Dundee to our house, the neighbors across the street, and one of them passed away, and then she moved like five or more years ago.
16 innings.
They used to, I think we're going into the 17th.
17th? My bad.
Yeah, it was the end of 16th.
End of 16th.
Going into the 17th. The family across the street would grill hot dogs out or boil hot dogs.
For the whole neighborhood?
For the whole neighborhood. There would be piles of kids in their front yard. It was really cool.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
If you had, I mean, if it was a neighborhood that would like that.
Yeah. Young kids, families.
Parents would get together and come over to get,
Yeah, it's really cool. I know when our kids were younger and we used to, like when the triplets were very young and we took them out in the wagon and just dragged them around the neighborhood, which was fun. And we had a lot of friends who would have a traveler with them, you know, and they drink as we went around the neighborhood.
Yeah, well.
6-3-0 writes, when I was young, junior high kids rarely trick-or-treated, but a lady on our street made fresh glazed donuts, so my best friend forever and I donned masks and our brothers, yellow rain slickers, and visited her. She scolded, aren't you boys too old for trick-or-treat? And as we darted away with our donuts, we laughed so hard because we weren't boys. Good for you guys.
And see, when you asked that before, my answer was, if you're 18 and trick-or-treating, you better have your younger brother or sister with you.
18 is definitely way too
old. Right. If you're 14, you better have a really good costume on. You better have your friends with you, male and female, and be jovial and be happy and like this is the last vestiges of your childhood.
Yeah,
I agree. I'll give you candy. But if you show up by yourself and you just, like, you know, grabbed your dad's old college jacket and say, hey, I'm in college, get off my doorstep.
Get off my lawn!
I used to do Halloween pretty good at the last school I was at, Roberto Clemente High School. I actually bought some of these motion detector type mannequins.
Okay.
One was an old scarecrow kind of figure that when you walk past, it would push all the way up and you know, do the with the flashing eyes. And then had a couple of gargoyle heads that would, like, yell at each other.
Yeah.
Like, complain to each other. Well, you never take me anywhere. All this other stuff. And the heads would turn. And then I had bowls of candy in my classroom.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's cool. Yeah. So it is in 18 seconds going to turn 2 a.m. here, which means it will be midnight in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So really, this game is crazy as long as it's gone. It's only getting to midnight now in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but there is no time limit for these games, is there?
Oh, no, there's no time limit.
Oh, they
now, I don't know if at some point they would ever say, we'll pick this up tomorrow. I don't know that there is, you know, I guess, you know, like in Little League, there is a local curfew type thing, but I don't think we would ever run. I think they would keep going.
I think these guys are too old for curfew.
I mean, it's the top of the 17th.
Yeah.
It's only midnight there. I'm sure they'd go at least until 1
or 2. It is the World Series.
It is the World Series.
It is only game, well, it is game three.
Game three. Yeah. But you know, the middle three games, so they had a day off yesterday.
They don't have.
But now it's Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night.
Yeah.
Games, you know, 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
So, well, that's pretty wild.
Yep. And it's midnight in Los Angeles.
It is. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. In fact, let's go ahead and do that right now. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Go ahead, Mr. Badish. Apple Bottle with you, 720 WGN. Here until 5 a.m., like the Matt Bubala Show on Facebook, and you can see the picture of me and Raj and Jess. Raj in his potato outfit as Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, my arms are too short to box with God, apparently. It's an old...
I've never heard that one.
I think it's an old play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jess as a soccer referee and myself as a gorilla.
Wait, oh, you know, too bad there's no audio. Because we could have had Jess go, go, or something like that.
Yes, yes, it's a shame.
I'll work on it.
No. Thank you.
Jeez. So we talked about teenagers and what you do with them, and my only hesitation in getting nasty with teenagers is that, you know, I don't want my house egged or TP'd or some crap like
that. Yeah, how do you prevent that?
Well, you could sit out there all night with the hose on, ready to go.
Yeah.
Here's what I've always... There's one thing I've always wanted to do on Halloween. We have these nice... they're getting old now. We need to repaint them. But these wooden chairs somebody bought us, I think, as a wedding gift or anniversary gift early on. And one's like a little white rocking chair, and one's just a little regular white chair. They're wooden chairs. And they sit out on our porch. We have a porch that's the length of the front of our house. It's got the spindles in front. We finished coat one this week at various times. I did not end up pulling Tommy out of school.
Good.
Because, oh, not good. I should have.
Well, you were chastised.
Well, he had something after school that day, and it's like, well, you have basketball practice. If you skip school, you got to skip it. Well, so I thought,
yeah,
all right,
that doesn't work.
I'll leave him in.
Yeah.
But we mostly got, at least if you look at the spindles, if you look at the porch from the street, it all looks like it's got a coat of white on it. I still have to do like the ceiling inside and stuff like that, and then we got to do coat number two. But we're getting there. But so we have this porch that's length of the front of the house, and we have these chairs we put out, or we have out in the summer, and then they go away in the winter. But what I want to do, I keep wanting to do this, and of course I'll never, this is one of those things I say, I'm going to do that, and then you never get to. I want to some October... on those chairs, make with, old jeans and flannel shirts and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Some dummies, like fill them with leaves like we, used to. And I want to have those out there so that they're there all month and everybody sees them. But then on Halloween night, I want to be one of them.
Oh, I've seen that before.
So then I sit there.
Yeah.
But they think it's, they've got these things out there. And then as the kids walk up, I move towards them. Yeah. And I want to have cameras set up to capture because, you might get some great scared reactions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or somebody just punches you right in the face.
Yeah. Or has a heart attack on your porch.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to have a heart attack. But I worry more about, because you watch those videos sometimes online where people scare people and somebody freaks out and just throws a haymaker at somebody and lays them out.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want that to happen to myself. Yeah. But it would be fun to scare people.
Yeah, I have seen that before. Mm-hmm. I've seen some videos where it looks like it's a stuffed dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, bam.
Yeah.
Bolts out at the people.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun to do with somebody? All right, so let me ask you about this, and anybody that wants to jump in as well, 312-981-7200. As I mentioned earlier, we've got, or maybe I didn't mention on the air, I know I told Jess, we have this trivia night to go to at our school, and it's 80s trivia.
Okay.
And so there's a table decorating contest, and we're talking about should we dress up. What would be the iconic thing of the 80s? If you had to go to something 80s themed, what would... whether it's a group or just a bunch, because I'm thinking, so one of the people organizing said, why don't we go as the characters from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fine, although that's not very dressy, you know what I mean? There's not, somebody could go as Cameron wore a Red Wings jersey, so you have the Red Wings jersey on. The school secretary kind of had a look to her, and Ferris had a jacket, but if you could actually find that jacket, but it's not like, there were these exact...
Yeah, fairly nondescript.
Yeah, I agree. Now, did you ever see the movie Trading Places, Roger? With Eddie
Murphy
and Dan
would be
Aykroyd?
Perfect in it.
I've got the gorilla costume.
All set.
I could be Jim Belushi from The Train.
Yeah.
So we could do that.
Then the others could wear business suits trading floor.
But they also had, if we could do a whole theme from that train ride and everybody could be the characters they were.
True.
Because there were some characters, and then there were people in suits with suitcases, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, well, what if we just individually went, oh, my God. All right, I just have to interrupt.
Uh-oh.
At bat right now for the Dodgers is Kershaw.
The pitcher?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if he's pinch hitting for the pitcher that was in because they're taking him out anyways, and that dude can't hit. Because at least Clayton Kershaw has had to have at-bats this year. Dodger relievers most likely don't get at-bats.
Probably.
And I don't know if Kershaw's
Relievers would if they're kept in the game late in the game.
But generally, relievers in a National League game, when they come up to bat, they're pinch hit for, and then somebody else comes in to pitch.
Yeah. How's Kershaw's batting statistics?
They say his postseason, he's 0 for 3. I imagine that's this year. I don't know what his career is. He's 0-2 right now, but he's taken a couple of good healthy hacks at it.
Clayton Kershaw batting average. Of course, if I put a space in there, that would be even better. 2018. Oh, that's his ERA. Pfft, never mind.
You and Jess are having trouble with the...
No.
He just got a base hit. No, he didn't.
No.
Sorry. I'm not calling play-by-play, Roger. I'm reporting on what's happening in the game.
Wow.
Kershaw made an out. But he hit the ball good. I mean, good for him. Pitcher coming in the bottom of the 17th inning.
Yeah. Yeah, with one at bat, so they don't wear him out.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
My guess is he's pitching tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Game four on 3 days rest.
I mean, but then why would you put him in to bat?
Because you got to have somebody bat. You're trying to get a guy in base to score the winning run. They need to win this game, too. I mean, if they lose this game, they're down 3-0. So there's a little more of an all-in, I think, mentality for the Dodgers here, is my guess.
Kershaw?
The Red Sox can afford to drop this one.
Kershaw's been playing for 11 years. His slugging percentage is a whopping .188.
What's his average?
Probably
around 100.
This year, 25 games, 46 at-bats, if I'm looking at the right thing here, one run, 11 hits.
That's not bad.
Two
11
doubles.
For 46 is pretty good,
two
actually.
Doubles, seven RBIs.
Especially for a pitcher.
And seven walks.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
So, maybe that's why. All right, so iconic 80s things to be. And see, Jess, this is why I didn't invite you to Trivia Night, because you can't even remember. What's the most iconic thing from the 80s, Jess?
Breakfast Club.
That's pretty good. That's pretty
Beetlejuice.
Good.
Beetlejuice.
So you're thinking of movies. What about just, is there...
The Wonder Years.
Wonder Years. If,
Alf. But ooh, you could go as the A-Team.
Go as the A-Team.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
You could go as the Chicago Cops from Hill Street Blues.
Yes.
No.
That would be tough to have anybody know what the hell you're being, I think.
Night Court.
See, now you guys are just thinking of television shows and movies.
Greatest
you know?
American Hero.
Let's think of the 80s as a decade and what we remember from it.
80s. So
Michael Jackson.
Here were some of my suggestions. One of us could go as Madonna, because she had some very extravagant outfits. In fact, we could have like all the women at our table could be Madonnas, and you could have people looking completely different from the different Madonna stages.
Mm-hmm.
You could do Madonna from the Material Girl video, that pink dress that was from the Marilyn Monroe takeoff, right? You could do the Madonna that wore all black frilly stuff and a million bangles on her wrists. You could do Madonna from the Like a Virgin video, where it's like a white dress. I mean, there's a lot of different Madonna looks, right? You could have a Michael Jackson guy. I was thinking somebody could be a Rubik's Cube. So we just take a big box,
right,
and paint that with the squares.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would look pretty cool. I think that
I'm looking at a picture of 1980s fashion, and they're standing around wearing these pastel-colored thin windbreakers.
Well, Miami
with
Vice.
Baggy pants.
Yeah, Miami Vice. Remember the look from Miami Vice?
Mm-hmm.
So you got that. I think somebody could go as an astronaut with a flag that has the MTV logo.
Because
remember, that was their big thing, their first logo?
Yeah.
262 says Bon Jovi. I hate Bon Jovi. God, do I hate Bon Jovi.
Stevie Nicks?
From the 80s? No. I don't think so.
80s, maybe.
Fleetwood Mac, 70s, 80s. More 70s, I think. Pac-Man, something Pac-Man, right?
That was Pac-Man was before the 80s. That was in the 70s.
Not when it became big, oh, I don't think. I think it was early 80s.
I was playing Pac-Man game in 73.
No, you weren't.
Yes.
Throw another dollar on that. I think you already owe me one.
We had the Pac-Man game. It was the table version.
I will bet you $1.
I played
right
it in
now,
college.
You did not play Pac-Man on a table in 1973.
I'm going to hurt you.
The bet is on. Don't just look it up. In
Wait a minute. How much do I owe you for the...
you owe me $1 so far for the ticket being bought in a town of a population of over 22,000. Now, I want to tell you, Roger, because we had a little Twitter thing on that this week.
Mm-hmm.
I will go... I'll go an extra dollar on it for you if you want. I don't know if we'll ever find out the...
Yeah, they don't have to say who they are.
Because they can be anonymous.
Right.
But I wonder if we'll at least find out the town that the person's from. But if we ever find out, I'll even go another dollar on that the person who bought it is also from a town of over 2,200.
Well, I've already looked at all the towns around there, and they're over 6,000.
Every single town nearby?
Within driving distance there, yeah. Right, so I would say so.
You'd lose that one too.
It's a tri-city market.
Okay.
And each of the cities in that tri-city are all over 6,000. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, you owe me a dollar. And let's go.
Pac-Man released in Japan in May of 1980.
Well, that's 7 years after.
Licensed by Midway Games, released in October 1980. I played a Pac-Man game in 1973 in a bar in Carbondale.
No, you didn't.
I did.
False memories.
Well, it wasn't a bar.
I'm telling you, I played something.
I played an
Scott from Lyle.
Oh,
text
you know what I
played?
I'm sorry. You know what I did play?
Yeah, Dig Dug?
No, not Dig Dug. That was way later. The Pong game.
You played the original video game.
Yeah, the original
video
game.
Oh, my God. 262 just sent us a picture from her in the 1980s going to a Bon Jovi concert. 262, let me tell you, that is the greatest hair. Oh,
I was just
going to
say that.
Was it all fluffed out?
She has got the Aquanet hair going.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
Nothing else. That is awesome. Although it looks like, oh, she took the picture off her computer screen, I think, because it looks like she took a picture of this through a window screen like it's outside. 262, send me another one. We have to, with your permission, I really want to put that up on Facebook. If you could send us again that photo, and if you can make it any clearer, that is hilarious. 630 writes, puffy-sleeved, asymmetrically buttoned blouses, often paisley, with lots of ruffles, with a flounced bottom below the knee skirt, and big hair. That's the 80s, and a wide belt, and big hair. Pac-Man and Donkey Kong from 1980 on. Yeah, those are the big years. Roger was playing Pong, which consisted of just a dot and two, like, dashes, basically playing ping pong back and forth. Much different. You know, I remember, so from my childhood, we never had the Pong by itself. We got an Atari. I don't remember what year, but the very first video game system we had, and God, I wish we still had it. I bet it would be worth something. I have no clue how this worked at all, but here's what I remember, Roger. There was like a decal that you put over the screen of the TV.
Okay.
I don't know
For
how it
what?
Worked. I don't know.
What was the game?
I have no clue.
Was it a game system where the decal was for a certain game you play in the system?
That's my guess. There was some sort of game system we had. Mom, if you happen to be up, because sometimes Mom is listening, I don't know that she would remember, but if she does, Mom, please text. I know my sister's not up, but I don't know that Mike is. But if anybody in my family is up that remembers this, or anybody that remembers in your youth, some sort of video game where... It was some sort of like almost like a saran wrap thing that you lay down the screen. And I don't know if that was like laying out like the course of something or what in the world that was.
Do you want me to try to look up?
No.
What?
No. Somebody'd have to tell us.
All right. Yeah. I've not heard of that.
Let's go to the phone line.
Oh, go ahead.
312-981-7200. Jeff, I think Jeff is out my way in Dundee. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I think the two iconic things that you could go as, Bill Gates, obviously, at the beginning of Microsoft.
Sure.
The Windows operating system was like 1983 or so.
Yeah.
I can't have fuzzy on that exactly. But I was at a convention out in Anaheim, California, and I was more involved in the hardware building computer rooms in this one fellow at the Halon System Company asked me, he goes, "Hey, you want to go see this keynote speaker?" I go, "Well, who is he?" And he says, "Bill Gates." And I go, "What's his claim to fame?" He says, "He's got a new operating system." And I go, "Nah, I think I'm going to Hollywood. I want to go down to Rodeo Drive and check it out."
Yeah.
So I missed the boat on that. And then the Motorola brick phone made here in Chicago.
Yeah. Gosh, was that? You know, it's funny. There's a commercial that's airing right now about that.
About the beginning of the phone
with a video, because I forget, they're coming out with 5 LTE now or something, right? Or some new LTE that it's not
5G. They're coming out with 5G. Yeah.
And I forget, because it's not Motorola who owns the technology that's doing it. It must be who bought Motorola or who's that. Been divided up by, is it like Verizon or something? Somebody's running a commercial where they show a video from the parking lot at Soldier Field in 1983. I want to say they got a convertible, and it's like the first cell phone call or something like that. You know, one of those big bag phones, and now they're, you know, now they're doing the next generation of it. The cell phone is good. Somebody texted and said, "Roger should be an Atari joystick." I do have my original Atari system still at home. I could bring that and put it on the table.
That would be kind of easy to do,
now,
actually.
If we could get electricity and I could bring a TV and we could hook up our Atari and people could play video games, we might just win the table prize.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to see if we can still make that work.
And record the sounds of the games and have them play the sounds playing as you're walking with your costumes on.
Yeah, that would be cool. Oh, my God. Somebody wrote 847 says it was the Magnavox Odyssey. That sounds right.
Wow. Magnavox Odyssey.
Oh,
that was a separate game system?
Yeah, it was some sort of game system. That's great.
I'm looking at it right now. You're right.
And was there something put on the screen?
The first commercial home video game console. It was developed by a small team at Sanders or whatever. 1972. September of 72 is the first generation. It cost $99.
It had two paddles.
It had, you would put the little game cartridge on the top. It's got a dial on the right and a dial on the left of the main game box, and then two paddles. Here's the, let's see here. Oh, there it is. Plastic television overlays. Do you see it?
I do. Oh, my gosh. That is crazy.
That's it. Oh, can you get one? Look up eBay.
I can't even imagine it'd be any fun to even
because we've got the games. We've got the.
That's so cool.
We've got our son's old games. He wanted to sell them, and I said, no. Keep them.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, they're not worth anything because, like, there's tons of them out there, but they still work. We still. The girls have played with it. Mario Kart. They play Mario Kart on, like, the second generation of the of those game system.
Oh, so like their tennis game, two players use paddles, knock a ball back and forth on a screen, uses an overlay of a tennis court, and players are intended to follow the rules of tennis.
Yeah. Now, I told you about this before, I think. Back when we moved to Vegas, our first big purchase was a TV set.
Okay.
A Curtis Mathis TV set that had a built-in Pong game.
It was a smart TV back before they had them, huh?
Yeah, and it came with paddles. You hooked the paddles in the back, or the controllers. It was red and blue controller knobs. You hooked them in the back of the TV, and then on the front of the TV, where all the dials were, there was a button. You press it in, and the game comes on. You press it out, and you watch regular TV. But it had three versions. It had regular Pong, then it had a like 10 times faster version of that, and then a double pong, like for doubles tennis. It was very cool.
Very cool. All right, yeah. Let's take a quick call here before we get to the news. Dava is in Crystal Lake. Good morning, Dava.
Donna.
I'm sorry,
that's okay.
Donna. Just as ears
that's
are clogged.
Okay, that's okay. I was thinking, I'm not sure what decade this was, but the YMCA.
The Village dancers. People. The Village People. They
yeah, the Village
were
People.
Probably in the 70s, yeah. But I want to say they had to have gone into the 80s, but that's a good question.
Oh, they had to. Yeah, I think. Probably
I wonder what we would associate them with if we'd say no, that was something. That's a good one, though.
Indian cowboy construction.
Police officer, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they got the whole thing. Donna, you're out in Crystal Lake. So if teenagers show up at your house without a costume on Wednesday night, what are you doing?
I break down and give it to him.
Do you give him at least a little hard time? Like, wow, where's the costume? Come on, where's the effort?
Oh, I do. But I don't also don't want, I mean, we live in a pretty safe neighborhood, but I still don't want
But you
want
know those teenagers.
I don't want my mailbox. missing the next
day. Yes, I don't need an M80 in the mailbox. Thank you so much for calling, right. Don. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have a good Halloween.
Thank
Sounds
you.
Like you are.
We will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 2:28 in the morning, 773 texts, 1980s. Risky Business, Prince, Nerds, and Preppies. And they sent pictures of all of them. We got a better picture of that, of our texter's picture from her trip to Bon Jovi. God, that is some great hair. God, that is good hair. We'll put that up on the Facebook page.
The 80s were the decade of big hair.
They were the decade of Aquanet. If you had stock in Aquanet back in the 80s, then
oh, yeah.
All right. All right, news coming up next, 720 WGN. It's not Green Day, is it? Weezer? That band is called Bowling for Soup. Well, that's a one-hit wonder, isn't it? Wow. That's a 1980s song about things in the 1980s.
This song is called 1985.
Ah, 1985. People are texting in pictures of mullets. I had a badass mullet back in the day, too. I don't have time to grow it back.
You did?
I did. I will bring in.
Is this real?
Oh, Jess, I had a big mullet back in the day. Yes, I was a hockey player. And so I had hockey Aww. Hair. I had a big mullet. I'll bring you some pictures that you will laugh and laugh and laugh at.
Has Jack and Tommy seen any of these photos of you?
I think they have. Jack always wants to grow his hair longer, and we do not let him. And I was just getting, he was just getting his haircut last week, and he had driven straight from school to the haircut place. And so when I got there with Michael and Tommy, he was done. And it didn't look like he had really gotten a haircut. There was a little bit on the sides and the back, but that was it. And there's a lot on top. I'm like, hold on. Let me take a picture and send that to mom, because I'm not having you come home and then I'm getting yelled at. So I sent a picture. She's like, yeah, he's got to get more taken. I said, okay. So I sent him back in to have more taken off. Because he's hemming and hawing, he's getting mad at me. He goes, you know what? Fine. In a year, I'll do whatever I want. I can't imagine what he's going to look like when he goes
sassy.
To college.
Sassy.
Oh, yeah.
Why does he like having his hair long? Maybe
it's
he
not
can
long.
Flip it.
He just likes to
flip it.
Not have it real short. But it's not like he keeps that much gelling and stuff like that. That's the problem. Is like, you think, well, it doesn't look that good.
But then he can flip it over to the other side.
He does flip it a little bit, yes. There's a little flippage involved. 920 writes, and this is really good, recreate the costumes from the Halloween dance scenes from the movie Karate Kid. And when we've gone to costume parties, people have come as the shower. That is a great costume. You make that shower from the Karate Kid. That's very good. So that would be a good one as well. I agree with that. I'm looking forward to it. So if we're talking 80s trivia, now, Jess, I'm going to test you here because you said, well, invite me to this. And I said, no, because I want to win. And I don't believe Jess, being a product of the 90s, would know much 80s trivia. Not even the 90s. When were you born, Jess?
1991.
Oh, my God. My freshman year of college. So,
80s.
So here would be a trivia question for Roger or Jess. What was the first video, and by who, played on MTV?
Video Killed the Rock Star.
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Radio Star, okay.
Yep.
And
by,
I don't know, I can't remember the artist.
Jess, don't look it up. I
she's
see you in
it up.
There.
That's not
yes,
fair.
Yes, of course she's looking
it's not
it up.
Allowed.
By the Buggles.
Buggles, yes.
By the way, if you want that shower costume, you can buy it for $39.99.
I think you could make that one pretty well.
Which one?
The Ralph Macchio shower costume.
Oh,
from Karate
easy.
Kid.
Yeah, you just it was like a shoulder brace.
All you,
and then
yeah.
the circle rod.
All you need is a hula hoop.
Yeah.
Buy a shower curtain with the rings.
Right.
And then, yeah, you need to put some sort of brace on it to put it on your back, and boom.
Yeah.
You're there.
Did he have... Was it just a curtain, or did he actually have the shower head?
The shower head
like,
hanging
he
over
did,
it? He might have.
I think with the sparkly paper hanging down from it, like it's water.
Oh,
I think
did
he? Did, yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
even better. That's a lot of effort, though. I don't know that I go that far.
What else? What did I just see? I just saw on one of the texts in the other room on the computer. Mm-hmm. It was another group shot from a... I forgot what it was now.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes. Oh, that would be so cool. So everyone with the thick-rimmed glasses, scotch tape around the middle part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pants pulled up high. Real thin ties, like shoestring ties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And penny loafers.
How about this? Urkel.
With white socks. You could do Urkel.
Well, actually, was that from the 90s? That show was probably, Family Matters was probably in the 90s.
No,
by the way,
I think it was, Family Matters, I think, was in the late 80s. Late 80s. Well, now, you got to, because if you do an 80s, a lot of 70s styles came to the beginning of the
80s. Yeah, and a lot of
late 80s right, went into the 90s.
Not that this is much to do anymore, but The Cosby Show was a huge show in the 80s.
Yeah.
And there
Number
was an episode. Where, what was the oldest son's name? Theo?
Yeah.
Theo wanted to impress. Okay.
Yeah.
So Theo wanted to impress a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to get this shirt that was a famous designer shirt.
I can't remember that episode.
And his older sister, played by Lisa Bonet, and I don't remember her character's name, she was like, I don't know if she was trying to go to art school or getting into fashion, but she's like, I'll make one for you.
Oh, it was the ugliest shirt
yeah.
ever. I remember
and
that.
And she screwed it all
oh,
up. It
the
was
sleeves
terrible.
Were wrong.
Yes.
Oh,
everything
my
was
God,
a mess.
The buttons didn't fit right.
And Theo was all upset
yeah.
because he wanted to spend money and she was trying to save money. And so he has the shirt on. The girl comes over and she's like, that shirt is so cool. And so he was thrilled. Name the designer of the shirt that he wanted. And I don't think it's a famous designer at all. It was a Gordon Cottrell. I don't know why I remember that.
Gordon
Cottrell. I don't know how it was spelled, but it was like with a G. Gordon Cottrell.
Oh, yes.
Is that what I remember.
Real person?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I think
okay,
it was just made up.
Okay.
You needed
okay.
a Gordon Cottrell.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll make you a Gordon Cottrell.
That's funny.
And the girl ended up liking. 870 texting, Bowling for Soup was May of 2004. Please don't disrespect the 80s. We weren't saying the song was from the 80s. We're saying the song was about the 80s. It was about 1985, but Bowling for Soup was May 2004, and I've never heard of them, so I'm guessing they didn't have any other hits.
They've been a band. They're still a band.
Yeah?
They're from Texas, but they became a band in 94.
Took them 10 years to come up with the 1985 song, huh? Okay. All right, fair enough. Did you see, Roger, that the Vatican released its own Pokemon Go app this
yep.
week?
I saw it.
I didn't
read the whole story, but I saw the
this.
Headline. Yeah.
Vatican has released a game called Follow JC Go, based on the augmented reality game Pokemon Go. Rather than chasing Pikachu and Squirtle, the Vatican version involves collecting saints and other biblical figures. Once players catch them all, their spiritual squad becomes an evangelization team that follows Jesus together. Players have to keep track of their avatar's nutrition, hydration, and prayer count by collecting special objects, saying prayers for the sick, and going into a church whenever they pass one. The game is only available currently in Italy and Spain.
That's cute. It
really is. 773. Oh, Lisa Bonet was Denise. Thank you, 870. And 773 texts that Gordon Cottrell was actually a producer on the show, so they used his name. That's pretty cool.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
So,
oh, by the way, we were on John's show this week. Twice
I,
that I know of.
I heard that because you told him
I
about our bet.
I texted him about our bet. And then the next day,
he started the show right after one. He says, Matt and Roger have this bet going, and and so we were on 2 days in a row.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Getting all that fame.
One of these days, we're going to get famous.
One of these days, we'll actually be on the John Williams Show.
That would be cool. Because he knows that that's the time when I drive to pick up the grand girls.
Oh, okay.
So I'm listening for the entire show.
Yeah.
And listening to everything. So, and I've texted it a few other times.
You know that the Powerball, the other huge
lottery, it went up again.
Is up to like $670 million
for
tonight.
No, I think it's 700 something.
Is it 700?
Yeah.
So if that doesn't win tonight, we're going to have another billion-dollar payday. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that one's going up as high as fast. And here's something else that and I don't know if they capped the Mega Millions or not, but remember the week before when it was at like 600 something or 700 something?
Right.
And then, but by the time the ticket was pulled, it had gone up another 200 million.
Well, it went from...
went up to like 900 million or something like that.
I thought, no, it hit a billion.
No.
We went from like 670 million to a billion to 1.6 billion.
But it never went up after that.
Right.
And so I'm wondering why it wouldn't go up
further.
If more people were spending money for it.
I wonder if they estimate it ahead of time, assuming they know what sales are.
But the week before, they bumped it up again right before the ticket was pulled. So I was, and they've done that all along. They do it for a lot of the lotteries. You know, the first week, if someone doesn't win, it's estimated that the next drawing will be this.
Well, maybe they estimated it up to $1.6 billion, and that was such a jump because it's a $600 million jump.
Yeah,
I mean, they
was.
Went from a billion to 1.6.
Yeah. Actually, it was at one.
And maybe they just didn't make it all the way to
and
it.
And it's still only the second largest drawing.
Oh, it didn't. Because the 1.6 was like a tie, but it.
No, it went to 1.5. They rounded it off to 1.6, but it's actually 1.53 something. And the top prize, the number one, was 1.57 something.
So it's still owned by Powerball.
It's still, yeah, right, Powerball.
Mm-hmm. And they're at, what do you think for tonight, around 700 million at that?
For the Power, yeah, I think I saw 720 something. I think.
All right, so should we get a group thing here and start every, we should make a deal here. Jess, you'll have to get in on this. I think we should make a deal that every time the Powerball or Mega Millions goes over... What's our threshold where we want to start throwing money in? 300 million?
Yeah.
Because then we'd each get 100 million?
Yeah.
We buy one ticket each. I'll take care of it every week.
Okay.
So for tonight, I will get three tickets.
Okay.
Okay. And you each got to throw in $2 the next week. And then if it rolls over
well,
before
I owe
we're
you
back.
A dollar anyway, so.
Well, that's separate. You don't get to throw that in the lottery. That's my dollar. So you owe me $3 then.
$1.
Okay, well, keep counting.
Oh,
and I'm
change?
Not taking all the change out of your boot, Mr. Potato Head. Oh, listen, fancy pants. You're something else. 312-981-7200
is five, and I'll be in for, it's my $1.
Get $2 from Jess. You owe me, because you owe me three then. You owe two and one, so you owe me three. So you get $2 from Jess, and that five will cover the two of you.
Oh. Okay.
Sound fair?
All right. Yeah.
Keeping up with that, man?
Yeah, I'll get $2. Give me $2. Oh, she's on the phone.
Yeah, she's taking a caller who we're about to take on the air. Mary is calling about. Thank you, Roger.
Mm-hmm. I freshly minted it.
I don't want to know what that means. 312-981-7200. Mary has called in this morning. Good morning, Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. I just was up listening to this.
We appreciate that.
And my kids were born in the 80s.
Okay.
Okay. So now they're, you know, two of them are in their 30s.
Sure.
Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper, you remember as a costume from the 80s that they wore?
Oh, yes, the black sheets and everything. He was about in fifth grade, and he just thought that was so cool. So I did
it.
Oh,
neat.
But his teacher didn't like that, so I walked up and I said, okay, here he is. And then my daughter, she wanted to be a princess, so that worked.
Oh.
But my little guy, I made him a little horse. You would, just a little horse so with a cowboy hat on his head.
Were you making these costumes
went
yourself?
Trick or treating.
Mary, you were making these costumes yourself back in the day?
Pardon me?
Were you making these costumes yourself back in the day?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. That's a talent.
You had to make up things in those days. We didn't have much money.
I hear you.
I'm the grandmother of nine.
Oh, excellent. Well, then Halloween
still
is still...
I still have those costumes.
Yeah, and Halloween's
still... those black sheets. And his teacher, he's a pharmacist today.
So he turned out all right. We can tell the teacher, while she was worried about him being the Grim Reaper back then, he worked out okay.
We still talk about that.
Thank you so much for calling in, Mary.
Just a good laugh. Huh?
Oh, that's great. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great weekend. And with nine grandkids, you're still going to enjoy Halloween.
Bill and Ted's...
Excellent Adventure?
The second one.
What about it?
The Grim Reaper was in that one. Remember?
I never saw either of those movies. You're worth watching?
The first one is really funny.
You know what we just finished?
What?
Ozark.
Oh, I've seen it. It's okay.
Jason Bateman and...
Netflix?
Yes. And Laura Linney. It is really good and really interesting.
Okay.
That's worth your while.
All right. Bridget and I just started The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
You know, I want to watch that. I really want to watch it. I have not watched any of it.
Hilarious.
Now, that's Amazon Prime?
Yes.
Okay, so I can get that.
Yeah. And we were laughing. And this was after watching an old episode of the PBS... Sherlock Holmes series that Bridget and I both love.
Yes.
So I says, you know, I've heard everything about this show. It's won tons of Emmy Awards. Let's give it a shot. We were in a stitch.
Good.
It was great. But the Grim Reaper is in the second Bill and Ted movie.
Okay.
Very
he's
tall,
also,
bald-headed.
He's really good in Christmas Carol, too.
Yes, with Bill Murray. Is Bill Murray in that one?
No, I'm just saying... Christmas Carol in general. At the Goodman.
I'm just going to eat my pizza.
Good idea.
In the newsroom.
News is coming up in just a few minutes here at 720 WGN. 630 writes, Powerball probably went up because folks like me stuck $5 in the lottery vending machines at Jewel and bought a Powerball and lotto ticket when buying Mega Millions. Well, that'll happen. But hey, it's up to $700 million. Let's all buy some tickets. So, Jess, I don't know if you heard that because you were taking the call.
Roger just walked by me and
you
said
owe
that
$2.
I owe him $2.
So
and
here's,
he goes, ha, 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 ha.
Here's the deal we made. Every time one of these lotteries goes up past $300 million, I will buy three tickets for us as a group. So we'll each throw in $2 every time. So
okay.
Powerball tonight is set over $700 million. So we're all in. Roger just covered you, so you owe him $2.
Oh, okay.
Sound good?
I have some cheese combos that were...
I imagine you could pay Roger next weekend.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
we'll
Raj.
Forgive you. Or if we win, you're in trouble because then he's going to say, well, she never paid me for that ticket, so really that share's mine. And then you're out of luck. All right. 312-981-7200 is the number. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll do the 3 a.m. news. Thanks for sticking with us here. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Real quick, Rob's in Oak Brook. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. What's going on?
Hey, you know, if you're going to have to dress up as an 80, I dressed up as my first Motorola phone.
Okay.
And I still own that. Phone, the very first phone, the very first handheld Motorola phone that you could buy.
That's got to be worth some money now, I would think. On the
My wife still uses it.
Get out of here.
Oh, no, she still uses it. It works fantastic. Her friends always take off their shoes and go, Sandy, the phone's for you, because it's that type of a...
Yeah, big, huge
thing. And it weighs like 3 pounds or something, so...
That's awesome.
It works. It works great, and it's an easy costume. You make it out of cardboard.
Oh, that's cool. Did you want to say something about the lottery, too? Were you calling about the lottery, Rob?
Yeah, you know, the lottery, again, if you look at the facts of when the big money is made, it's always like this last one. Some small town in North Carolina, you know, population 1,800 people. It's always something like that.
It was population, Roger, wasn't it?
22,000.
22,000.
Yeah.
We had a bet about
20,
this.
Oh, I'm sorry, 22,000. Well, still, it's, hey, Myrtle, you get to get a new rocking chair for the front porch, you know.
Hey,
so
I live all the way out in West Dundee. I got a little twang out there. We can win it. It can happen. It just means we're all due.
All I know is my dad won up in Maine maybe 20 years ago, and he won it by picking his own numbers. And he grouped his numbers. And there's some guy out there, I remember, someone wrote a book on how to win the lottery. And if you look at the lottery numbers that won, they were grouped.
It'd be very interesting. I'd love to know the percentage, and I got to get to the news here, Rob. So thank you so much for calling in, and have a wonderful weekend. I'd really love to know the percentage of winners that picked their numbers versus just took quick picks. My guess is mostly it's quick picks, because a lot of times it seems like it's won, you know, by groups of people who work together, who do this lottery pool every week, and I'm assuming usually those are just quick pick choices. But I'd be interested in hearing how often is it my numbers came in versus I bought a ticket and won.
Yeah, I'd like to, from the person who won, first of all, I'd like to know if it's a single person or if it's a group of people.
Yeah.
Like you say, got together at work or whatever. And if they did the quick pick or if they had specific numbers that they've been picking every week for the last 2 years.
Now, they could at least tell us, even without this person ever identifying themselves, because they don't have to in South Carolina, they should know, or they do know, if it was a quick pick, because that's, or, you know, if it's just a random selection, they know that that's how that ticket was sold.
Yeah. They know if specific numbers.
So they could reveal that, and hopefully they will. All right. It is 3:02 in the morning. Hear the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes. Weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Top of the hour, let's check some news with Roger Batta. Matt Babal here with you, 720 WGN, 3:15 in the morning, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us in the middle of the night. Whether you're just getting up or heading to bed, keep it on with us here on 720 WGN or WGNRadio.com or on your TuneIn app. However you get us, we're live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on Wacker Drive, a few blocks away from our old home at the Tribune Tower, which is still under reconstruction. And if we win the Powerball or the Mega Millions or something, I'm buying a condo in there. FYI. Real quick, Roger, to finish up, we started talking about, and then we got sidetracked.
What?
The Vatican has released its own Pokemon Go app called it's called Follow JC Go, which is interesting to me. That the Vatican, now I understand let's appeal to the youth and do this game. I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Right.
But I never would have thought the Vatican would be cool with us going with the shorthand JC.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
That's very progressive.
Extremely so.
What's up with JC?
I
Follow JC Go is only currently available in Spain and Italy for iOS or Android.
I would have to ask my wife if she thinks any priests in our neighborhood would allow Jesus to be referred to as JC.
I can't imagine the priests at our church would be cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just doesn't.
Follow JC Go was originally developed by the evangelical group Fundación Ramón Payne. For World Youth Day, it reportedly cost $500,000 and took 2 years and 32,000 hours to develop.
Wow. The
game is now available for both iOS and Android, though its geographical reach is limited. It's only active in Italy and Spain at the moment, which at least means that you can go to Vatican City and play a literal game of Pokemon Go. That's pretty good. Pokemon Go. That was a joke. Instead of Pokemon Go, it'd be Pope-emon Go.
Yeah, there you go.
Pope Francis is reportedly a fan of the game, which isn't a shock. While he hasn't watched TV since 1990, Francis is a technologically savvy pontiff with an active Twitter account where he slams fake news. Not in the same way that President Trump does, though.
They have a video here. The trailer for the game. How does a game get
They do that for all the games now.
Really?
Yeah. For Follow JC Go, there is a trailer, huh?
Follow JC Go.
God. It's crazy.
And, of course, it's in
What's funny is that
Italian.
The thing that is throwing us off the most is not that there's a Pokemon-style version.
This is cute.
It's that they're calling it Follow JC Go.
This is very cute. It's got the little figures walking. So it doesn't look like it's not quite like Pokemon Go.
Sure.
Where you're the character.
Mm-hmm.
It has not emojis, but you can, I guess, emoji yourself. You pick a character.
Okay.
That then it's like the little people, the little, you know, the kids' toy. It's like a little people person. And you walk on the streets of wherever you live or wherever you're at, and churches pop up and things like that. So, yeah, it looks very cool.
You know, the problem, I guess, I have with this, or would have maybe with this, is that I foresee a bunch of kids in Italy. So, like, you know, we're planning our European vacation next summer. I want to mm-hmm. take the kids over. Mm-hmm. Or I don't think we're going to Italy. But if we did, I would be very frustrated if I had a bunch of teenagers walking around looking at their phones
because right.
they're playing Follow JC Go instead of, say, seeing the Colosseum, possibly
yeah,
for the only
right.
time in their life.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. they got to bring the kids back to the church.
And that's probably, and I know that's got to be the main reason they're doing it. And I'm not talking about teenagers. We're talking kids.
Younger kids. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the interesting thing is, you know, it takes some. So Pokemon Go, I guess, became a big hit 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like they got right on board, like, hey, let's blah, blah, blah. $500,000 later, 32,000 hours to develop. You know, it's 2 years later.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go, not that big of a thing anymore.
It's,
you know, you wish you could have came out of it.
The Chicago had a big thing over the summer with them. It was, remember, 2 summers ago, there was a big thing in Grant Park, and it kind of, like, fell apart because the company didn't anticipate the number of people logging on, and people couldn't get on, and it kept busting and everything. It was,
yeah.
And they actually had to refund money and stuff. So this time they set things up in Lincoln Park at several different locations along the lakefront, and it was extremely successful and had a very large turnout, and it was over several days. So it's still out there. There are still fans of it. I gave up on it a long time ago, only because the whole thing kind of messed up, and I forgot my login name. And once I did again, I reset the password, and it wiped everything out, everything that I had. But
yeah.
I was growing tired of it anyway.
Yeah.
Because I got other things I got to do. Seriously. You
can't
know?
Be playing that Pokemon Go all day, huh?
No. I mean, I was actually in between some newscasts. I was walking the hallways over at the Trib.
Roger.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. At least you're getting steps in, though.
I was. You know, I don't do something. Fitbit, but it was good exercise, you know.
Hey, let me ask you about something else that's been in your newscast.
Mm.
You're talking about arrests of a gang.
Mm-hmm.
And what gang is this again?
This is the, Goonie Boss Gang. They're a faction of the Gangster Disciples, which is like a huge gang.
All right. The Goonie
been around for a long
Boss
time.
Gang?
Mm-hmm. Goonie, as in the Goonies.
Is that what the reference is to?
No, I have no idea. I've never heard them until the news report today.
Wouldn't you? It's curious, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you come up with the name, you know, Gangster Disciples? Those sound like some badasses you don't want to mess with,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your guess? We're the Goonie Boss Gang?
Well, it could have been. It could be someone's nickname.
Could
Goonie,
be. Yeah.
Could be his nickname.
Or maybe somebody's a big fan of the Goonies. I mean, you know, that was out in the 80s, too, I think. Kids are big, you know, you never know. There could be something.
Mm-hmm.
But Goonie Boss, like, really? You going with Goonie Boss? You got the El Rukins, you got the Gangster Disciples.
Mm-hmm. If it is after the Goonies, I wonder if the guy looks like Chunk.
I don't know.
I don't want them coming after me.
I just
going to
say, I don't know that we should joke too much about it.
No,
although,
no.
Although you were saying they're a...
they're a faction.
A faction.
Yeah.
So
and that's what a lot of gangs are nowadays. There are you know, back in the olden days, there were one or two main big gangs in the city.
Yeah.
And you had to be a part. They ruled the city.
Right.
But gangs, and even police will tell you, that the gangs of today are nothing like what they were back then. They are smaller groups now, covering smaller territories. They are offshoots of the bigger gangs, and there are more gangs out there now than there ever have been, because they don't like the bigger gang makeup. They don't like that big group where you're kind of lost in the group.
They're a little more entrepreneurial these days.
A lot more entrepreneurial.
And that's why, I mean, I'm theorizing here, but that's kind of why we're having so many more shootings, right? When there were just a couple of bigger gangs, there was more peace.
There was more organized. A lot more peace.
Now there's a million different gangs to be mad at each other.
And covering smaller areas, too, where sometimes we're talking just a block. On some gangs.
And so the Goonie Boss Gang is an offshoot, you said, of the gangs. So is that like...
According to the police,
So you're thinking that's like a wholly owned subsidiary? Like, what kind of terms, you know, how do they...
Well,
how
I don't they, know do what their standing
the
is.
How does that happen?
I don't know what their standing is with the
gangster disciples.
Like I said, this is the first I've heard of them.
Right, right. It's really interesting, though. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that work? You know, did they approach them? We'd like to merge. We think you guys have a lot to offer. Let's sit down and talk. And then they get together and they're like, well, you know, there's going to be some cost efficiencies here. You know, there were layoffs in the Goonie Boss Gang when they, you know, merged with the, they're like, well, there's some redundancies here. We're going to have to lose. Yeah, Joe and Steve, I'm sorry, but you know, you guys, we've got you, you got 5 years in. We'll give you 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll give you 3 weeks of severance. You know, how does that work with a gang? I don't know what the 401k had.
I don't know.
I don't know if, you know, do they keep going with the, they put them on Cobra? How does that work when the mergers happen?
Let me throw a little more confusion into it. I'm reading from a press release here. The charges allege that Goonie members and their associates. Well, who are these associates? If they're not members, are they initiates?
Maybe they're interns. Well, you know, you
ladies and gentlemen,
through,
that was Mr. Matt Bubala.
You got to go through a probation period. You don't know if you're in yet.
You do.
I mean, literally, you do. And so that's the intern phase where you're not getting paid. Mm-hmm. You know, you're helping just run some errands, get coffee, you know, clean up after the spills and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, so that could be those associates. Or maybe the Goonie Boss Gang had, there's a smaller gang that they sort of were overseeing. Maybe they had a subsidiary as well.
Who knows?
You don't know how these things work.
Well, they apparently, of these four people, one of them apparently is the leader of the gang.
Of the Goonie Boss Gang?
Yeah.
Well, that's not good for him. Or for them.
No. Well, I'm sure they've got, like, you know, in any army, you've got another assistant or whatever that can take over.
Now, somebody from the Gangster Disciples is being told, hey, Joe, there's problems down at the Goonie Boss. You're going to have to, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go for a couple weeks and oversee the facility and, you know, make sure everything's working right. He's like, oh, man, I can't believe I got to do this again. Yeah. I was just with that other gang last week.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find more information about the gang, and there's just, I'm not seeing anything.
I imagine it's a little sketchy.
Yeah.
All right, we've got news coming up, 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here at 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the number. If you want to jump on with us at some point, we'd love to have you on the show. Coming up after 4 a.m., we will tell you one of the greatest stories out of World War II that I had never heard of. I look forward to that. Roger, I got to tell you about a billboard I saw coming in.
Uh-oh.
We normally don't talk about things that are blue on this show, but I had to laugh. The Admiral Theater.
Yeah.
Which is one of the men's, the gentlemen's facilities here in town.
And it's the only one in the city of Chicago, because it was there before the new laws were put in, so it was grandfathered in. It is the only, if I can say this, strip club within the boundary of the city of Chicago. All the other ones are outside, to the best of my knowledge.
I was going to say, should we throw another dollar on that? Because I can't imagine that's true.
I believe it is true. I will go ahead. So tell me about your billboard for the Admiral Theater.
So I'm driving down, and there's a billboard for the Admiral Theater. Everybody gets into the spirit, I guess, of Halloween. They're having for two nights... I think it's like November 1st and 2nd. I don't know why it's not on Halloween. I swear it's a November 1st and 2nd. Nights of the Stripping Dead. So my guess is the ladies on stage.
Are they all
going to
be vampires?
Like zombies or something, which would be weird if they did real heavy
stripper
zombie
uniform. What's a stripper uniform?
There is no stripper uniform. That's the whole point, I think. I mean, there is, I guess, at first, and then it's gone. I don't know. I don't know if, I don't even know if they're fully nude or only partially nude or what they are, but it would be weird if you're going to see a woman dance and get naked and all that stuff that we, that you do. It would be weird to see them bloody and gory at the same time, like skin hanging or however. I don't know how intricate they get with a zombie costume.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's Knights of the Stripping Dead, I don't expect them to just be dressed up as the Mummy and Frankenstein and Dracula. I expect, like, it's a zombie apocalypse and we're at the strip club.
Jeez.
I don't know.
Well,
you'll have to report back to us. Tell us how it goes.
Well, excuse me.
Tell Bridget you've got homework.
Yeah, I stand corrected.
I have to go to the Admiral. They told me I have to for the show.
Yeah.
You stand corrected, so there are more than just the Admiral? How many dollars do you owe me now? Like 12?
Well, hold on a second now. Hold on. This is from, I don't.
Nobody wants to call in and tell us because they don't want to get in trouble for knowing.
Oh, really?
That's my guess.
And I just tried to pull something up on another site, and it says, you've viewed this site too many times.
Although 630, Streamwood Steve says, hey, Matt, you're correct on the dates. Yeah, baby! So apparently he sent it to the Admiral either on November 1st or 2nd. All right.
Where, see, now, why doesn't that, where's Stone Park?
Oh,
that's not
that's
in
where,
the city.
That's where the strip clubs are, though.
Oh, really?
I believe there's a strip club.
Chicago Heights.
Streamwood Steve, tell us where the other establishments are. Roger's trying to look it up.
River West. That's a VIP's gentleman's club.
The city doesn't allow it?
Huh?
The city doesn't allow
no,
strip
there's,
clubs?
There's here's one in Polecats Bridgeview. That's in the city.
Yes, it is.
At Ford Heights.
I don't know if that's technically.
Here's Admiral City.
Where's the Admiral Theater? At? What? Where's that at?
In Uptown.
Okay.
Irving Park Road. Am I right?
Listen to Roger.
Closes at 6 a.m.
Oh, so we can still get an hour in after the show?
Yeah. Well, you can.
Oh, that's true. You have to stay here.
I guess I'm here till.
I'll report back.
I'm sure you will.
I'm sorry, honey. After work, I've got some more work to do.
I've got some research, hon. Yep. That'll go over big.
That is dedication, people. Ron is on 720 WGN this morning. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Good morning, Matt and not Roger. Is it Roger?
Yes, it is.
You know, remember, was it 2 weeks ago when Kanye West was giving his rant at the White House,
yes.
And he said Larry Hoover, the founder, or one of the founders of the Gangster Disciples, who should be released from prison.
Yeah.
And, maybe he could reunite the gangs and stop the violence, which is an absurd thing. But, that's not been covered by anybody in Chicago. You know, news talk things about... he's still directing operations from a supermax, maybe.
Well,
I don't know.
Well,
but
it's very interesting you bring this up, Ron, because you're right. It got glossed over when that happened, generally because there's so much craziness out of Washington every moment that one piece of craziness gets overcome by something else and then we forget about it. But you're right. So Kanye West is in there telling President Trump, and I wish we had the audio of this, Roger, he's telling President Trump how he should pardon this Hoover guy.
Right.
And then Trump's like, well, what did he do? What's he in there for? And I forget what they said, but they totally
Oh, he was saying something about that he helped families and a lot of the positive things that the gangs claimed they were doing.
Yeah, he doesn't like mention, he's a gang guy and he was running the gang still from in the prison or anything like that. Because isn't that the story, Ron? I believe he got moved from one prison to a supermax because he was still like running the gang from the prison or something like that.
That's exactly right, yes. And you know, one other thing, if I may, Matt, you know, two clicks over from your station, there's a Cincinnati station that comes out that is a total, it's pretty close to Ku Klux Klan, total Trump radio. Are you familiar with that?
Is it WLW? I'm thinking of a 50,000 watter that would come in. I would think that would be WLW.
Well, it's 700 out of Cincinnati. It's a trucking trucking show, but
well,
on the
it
weekend,
could be from that station, but it could be a syndicated
probably
talk show.
No, it's not syndicated. It's part of the Cincinnati. They cover the Cincinnati Reds during the baseball season, but during the weekend, it is like total Trump, and like there's 15 or 20 callers that are regular callers with names like Monkey Gouger and, you know, yeah. And, well, you know, the real heavy southern accent, and it's just total Trump, and they just keep repeating the same lies week after week after week.
Well, Ron, just so you know, so I don't know what station it is. I'm going to guess it's WLW.
Yeah, 700 on the AM dial.
It's a 50,000 watt that would come in up here. But that probably is a syndicated show you're hearing on the weekends, like WLS.
No, it's not syndicated.
But the show you're listening to might be. I know you say they cover the Reds and things like that. But all of those stations, like if you go over to WLS, they've got Rush Limbaugh. They've got a bunch. They only have a couple local shows on WLS altogether. Right now,
no, Matt. It is part of their show. It is the
because you hear them talking
trucking
about Cincinnati too.
Yeah, this is America's trucking.
Oh yes,
trucking network is what it's called.
Yes, it is,
and that means that it is a show that is carried. The same show is carried on radio stations around the country, which is why we're saying it's syndicated. And they may you'll hear local newscast at the top and bottom of every hour. You'll hear local commercials because they break for that. They allow local radio stations who carry this program to, you know, make it sound like
local,
it's local.
Yeah.
Right. But this is called America's Talking Network. Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know, the guy who was caught with the van with all the Trump stuff on stickers on it, they preach the same thing that the host, he's been to six Trump rallies, you know, and it's kind of insanity. But if you want to find out what these people really think or don't think, try and tune in. I can only stand it for like 10 or 15 minutes.
I'm going to say, hold on one second. I'm going to say, let's not do that. Why don't we just all stay here? Encourage all your friends who are listening to that to come over here and hang out with WGN. I appreciate the call very much, Ron. I will, you know what? Let me take Glenn real quick, and then we'll get off the strip clubs altogether, and let's talk about the pipe bomb thing a little bit because there is something to be said about what he's saying about who this message is getting to and what that causes. But first, the important news. Glenn is called to talk about strip clubs. Good morning, Glenn.
Oh, hey, good morning. Yeah, I have no experience in strip clubs at all. But all I'm saying is, I just find it quite disturbing that Roger could in one sentence say adult strip clubs and grandfathered in at the same time.
he meant to say he was hoping it was grandfathers get in free.
I know, but it's just like, that's probably the only time you hear the two connected, hopefully, ever.
Yeah, whenever Roger goes to the strip club, it's a big pain in the butt because there's a backup because Roger's at the front going, well, I'm 66, don't I get a discount? And I'm here before four, so that should be at least $2 off. What about the buffet?
Yeah, I know.
You get a free coffee if you're there between 12 and 1.
Do you have Sanka?
Yeah.
I like Sanka.
Yeah.
I can't have caffeine this late in the day. Yeah.
Keep
me up all night.
No beer, yeah. Yeah, that beer will keep me up. Yeah, no. Yeah. But, no, I think you are right. I think you need to send an intern in just to investigate it.
Well, I probably should handle this one myself. That wouldn't be fair to the intern.
Yeah, he needs to get first-hand knowledge.
First-hand experience.
Keep your hands to yourself. That's how you end up in jail. First rule of strip club in Roger. Keep your hands to yourself.
Too old for strip club.
That's true. Thanks for checking in, Glenn. We really appreciate
You're welcome. Have a nice morning.
Have a great weekend. We appreciate it. 312-981-7200. It's 3:47 in the morning. Let's talk for a couple minutes about this pipe bomb thing and this guy who was arrested today. So this week, as these things are all showing up in the mail, we hear from the right that, it's being done by somebody on the left. This is a hoax. This is that. These bombs are fake. The bombs weren't done well. The FBI said today, no, these were real bombs. They just didn't work. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And thank goodness they did not just because of who they were sent to, but because of who would have been hurt by them. I don't think any of the people, my guess is at least, Roger, that none of the people these bombs were sent to, like Maxine Waters, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris.
They have people
checking
their mail.
None of them are opening their mail.
No.
So somebody else within the campaign or somebody in a mail room somewhere, somebody with the U.S. Postal Service would have gotten hurt or killed by these things had they worked.
That's right.
So luckily, this guy didn't know enough of what he was doing to make them work. But it turned out to be what you might have guessed. And this is the danger of the rhetoric that is out there. It's not you or I or Jess or anybody that's a huge Trump supporter that is of relatively decent mental health. I'm going to take a wild guess and say this gentleman has some mental health issues. I don't know of any other way to exactly explain that you would take this stuff and take it so to heart that you're sending bombs to try to hurt and kill people. And that's the danger of the rhetoric, is not, you know, that it just erodes our discourse or it's this or that. It's that there are people out there who take this stuff seriously. There's always people who will believe that 9/11 was a conspiracy, that we didn't land on the moon, whatever you want, that there's aliens, that there's this, there's that. There's people out there who are not always, and listen, I'm not saying anybody who believes in aliens is crazy. I'm not saying any of that. But that, you know, it was a government job on 9/11 and things like that. People that are a little more on that fringe, I do believe that that will run with something like this and do something like this guy's doing. I believe that's a mental health issue, that he thought, I'm going to send bombs to these people. But he was undoubtedly inspired or emboldened, at least a little bit, by the rhetoric that President Trump does throw out there. The enemy of the people talking, all of these things, the violence he does at least condone regularly. And then in the last week or so, it's amazing to me how his little falsehoods, his little lies, if you will, about tax, you know, I'm going to pass a 10% tax cut for the middle class before the election. Congress isn't even in session, so that's impossible. It seems like in the last week, now it's just, we're just going to say whatever we want just until these midterms. And so instead of, you know, and I know he's never going to take any blame for this or say, yeah, it's my fault, I shouldn't be talking like this. Of course he's not going to do that. I wouldn't expect him to. But to get out there and say the media is causing this by their unfair reporting, I mean, that's the amazing thing, is now that he's going to blame all of this, this guy, on the media.
He already has.
Yeah, he did it at a rally tonight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're still chanting lock her up and doing all this crap. You know, this guy has had photos of a bunch of people, including, like, there's a big photo on that van of Hillary Clinton with a crosshair over it. And we've got media like Rush Limbaugh or Fox News, I forget which one it was that I read today, was saying, you look at those stickers on the van, they're not very worn away, those were just placed there. Trying to sow the seeds of, no, this is deep state, this is all this BS crap that just gets pushed at people who are the most vulnerable to believing this stuff. And we get scary incidents like this, and that happens. And that's why when people on the left like Bill Maher or Michael Avenatti say, when they go low, we got to kick them in the balls, or when they go low, we need to go lower. That's why you have to go back to Michelle Obama and say, when they go low, we go high, because we can't have more of this. And it is not equatable to people yelling at people in restaurants, but all of that does need to stop because it gets dangerous. And people are going to get hurt. People are already getting hurt in some ways by this stuff. But it's just crazy that where this political divisiveness has gone, brought on fully and owned, I'm sorry, but owned by President Trump and the way he speaks publicly and doesn't slow himself down from at all. And he's going to keep doing it until somebody gets themselves killed. And even then, it's going to be the media's fault, because he wouldn't have to talk this way if the media would portray him fairly. And that's just terrible. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. 708 says, your thoughts on going low and high are all good in theory, Matt. Remember, though, needs to work with Democrats also. I hear plenty of negativity daily from that side also. Why don't you bring that up? Well, I want some examples of the negativity that you're equating to what President Trump says about people. I generally don't hear that. Now, when we had the Kavanaugh hearings, I was upset, and I talked about it on the show, about the Democrats turning that into politics instead of being about the that nomination. And I blamed both sides for the fiasco that that became. So I did. But if we talk about negativity and that and the vitriol that's out there, I don't know how you can pin much of that onto the Democratic side. I really don't know how you can, because I don't hear that on a day-to-day basis. When you're President Obama out now campaigning, we got a lot of campaigning going on for a lot of people. Look at the difference between a President Obama rally that, I forget if he was in Michigan or Wisconsin, he was somewhere, I think, today.
He was in Wisconsin yesterday.
You play audio of that versus Trump's rally. You're not hearing chants of lock her up. Not hearing all that crap. That stuff doesn't go on. And that is the difference, I think. 312-981-7200. We're going to get the news here in a second. I want to talk just real quick about Khalil Mack. And the headline in the Tribune on the David Haw article was, Khalil Mack should play through his injury. That's what leaders do. That is the stupidest headline I have read. Khalil Mack needs to take a game off or a couple games off or something. The Bears have not been the same since he hurt his ankle.
Nope.
And he is not. They're not getting any pressure, and it is killing them. And I'd rather see them take a loss because he's not playing.
They have been losing because...
Well, because he's not playing like himself. Right. Haw writes, tough guys earn their reputations, football players play. Since coming into the league in 2014, Mack has played in 70 straight games, a remarkable streak considering the impact he makes as one of the NFL's most dominant pass rushers. Mack playing at 70% makes the Bears a better defense than any potential replacement operating at 100%. You didn't need a trained eye to see how his gimpy ankle limited him against the Patriots, especially when covering running backs on pass routes, which, for reasons that escape me, defensive coordinator Vic Fangio thought was a good idea. But you also didn't need a degree in sports psychology to understand the big picture importance of Mack trying to play through pain in today's bubble wrap sports environment. This is what leadership looks like. The NFL's most valuable defensive player limping around the line of scrimmage, doing everything he can to help his team win. This is a powerful example for teammates that will permeate the organization for months after the Patriots left town with a victory. This is why Mack should play Sunday against the Jets unless x-rays or MRI results make the decision for him. I think that I love David Haw. I think he's great. I think this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard him write. If he is not helping your team win, you get 16 games to get in the playoffs, and they need to win those games down the road. And if this injury could recover by him just taking a week off completely, then let him recover and be back to being him. Because this half Khalil Mack, I'm sorry, I don't know that it is necessarily 100% better than having the actual Khalil Mack there. And he's not getting any pass rush. And I know that they're, you know, having extra people block him and eating all those resources up. But teams are having good success against the Bears the last couple weeks on defense with Khalil Mack not doing what he was able to do the first few games.
I heard.
Give him 1 week off and see if he gets better. Yeah. Give me this, tough guy's got to play to show them what it's like. No, he doesn't. He needs to be healthy.
Last week on Hamp and Be With Cause, they were talking about how that they weren't even using him on pass rush, that they were moving him out to cover people, and that's and if you're hurt, if your ankle is hurt, which I think he's got an ankle injury, it you're not helping him any by making him run after somebody instead of trying to push through the line.
Well, maybe
where you're not running as much, even though you're still putting pressure on your ankle.
Maybe, but I wonder if the pressure you put trying to push through people is tougher on him right now than just jogging along. But either way, he doesn't look like himself. It's not what
he's not helping either way.
Games.
Yeah.
Let him rest if it's not, especially if we're just going to keep this injury as a nagging injury all season long. Give him the time now. And this is the Bears got screwed by having such an early bye week. That's the one thing that stinks.
Yeah.
They had their bye week so early, and then, you know, then injuries come after that, and you're never going to get a chance to truly recover. All right, you heard the tone. It's 4 in the morning. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. After this news, one of the best World War II stories I've ever heard, I had never heard of it. There was a movie made about it. You're going to love this coming up after we check the headlines now with Roger Badish. Saw this story earlier this week and was just fascinated by it. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the name correctly. We'll find out in a minute. Joachim Rønneberg, a Norwegian resistance fighter who sabotaged Nazi Germany's nuclear weapons ambitions during World War II, died this week at the age of 99. In 1943, he led a top-secret raid on a heavily guarded plant in Norway's southern region of Telemark. Rønneberg later worked as a radio journalist, helped raise awareness of the dangers of war among the young. He told the BBC in 2013 that he only realized the importance of the mission after atomic bombs were dropped on Japan's Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. "He is one of our great heroes," Norway's prime minister told NTB news agency. "Rønneberg is probably the last of the best-known resistance fighters to pass away." Born in 1919, Rønneberg fled Norway after the Nazis invaded in 1940. The then 21-year-old escaped with 8 friends by boat to Scotland, but was determined to return and fight. Germany at the time needed so-called heavy water with an extra atomic particle in its hydrogen nucleus in its race against the Allies to produce an atomic bomb. Large amounts of heavy water, or deuterium oxide, at that time were only made at the Norsk Hydro facility in Telemark. This made the largest hydroelectric plant of its type a target for the resistance, but a small team tasked with destroying it in 1942 failed. The following year, Rønneberg chose a team of 5 other commandos in an Allied operation codenamed Gunnerside. "We were a gang of friends doing a job together," he told the BBC during the 70th anniversary of the mission. Listen to how they did this. This is where it gets interesting and crazy. The men parachuted onto a plateau, skied across country, descended into a ravine, and crossed an icy river before using the railway line to get into the plant and set their explosives. Quote, "We very often thought this was a one-way trip," he said. After the explosion, the men escaped into neighboring Sweden by skiing 200 miles across Telemark, despite being chased by some 3,000 German soldiers. He described it as, quote, "the best skiing weekend I ever had." The operation, coupled with U.S. air raids the following year, led the Germans to abandon their plans and was later described as the most successful act of sabotage of World War II. He was reluctant to talk about his experience despite numerous books, documentaries, and TV series retelling the story. Broke his silence in the 70s when he began raising awareness of the dangers of war among young people. Joining us on the phone right now is Alan Wright, who had the pleasure of interviewing this gentleman sometime past. We wanted to get a little more insight on the man and the story behind it. Alan Wright is on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning, Matt. Very good, and we've got very similar weather in England as you have in Chicago. It's cold, wet, and windy.
Well, we've got a lot of that coming. I imagine you do, too, although that's how we think of London, as cold, wet, and windy kind of year-round. Is that unfair of us to think that way, Alan?
Oh, we've had a good summer. I live on the northeast coast of Newcastle, you know, just before the Scottish border. And the funny thing about my patch, I live right next to the sea, so that keeps us warm. But 10 miles from here, there's snow on the ground today, would you believe, a little higher up. So we've got a winter a little early.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's ahead of us. Let's talk a little bit. Is Joachim how you pronounce his first name?
Yeah, you've got it spot on, Matt. Okay. Joachim Rønneberg.
Joachim Rønneberg. Just a fascinating story. I feel terrible that I don't know my history well enough that I had never heard this story at all until this week. I can't believe that the most famous movie was back in 65. This sounds like my guess is that this story got around this week, and in Hollywood there's producers snapping this up saying, we need to remake this story because it sounds like a James Bond movie in a way, doesn't it?
It really does. I remember Joachim saying to me about the film, I said, what did you think of Heroes of Telemark, as you say, made in 65? And I'll tone it down for your audience. He said, Hollywood rubbish. He wasn't impressed. He thought they took the skeleton of a story and, in his words, messed it up. But it would be brilliant if somebody did do a modern remake with the facilities they have now and get the story right. But he's one of these guys, you know, I was a BBC presenter on radio in England for 25 years. So it's wonderful being on the other end of a microphone today, Matt. It's very enjoyable. But the thing about Joachim was, I do a lot of work on the speaking circuit and hosting conferences. And a company called Hydro Polymers, who actually owned the factory in Norway during the war, the Norsk Hydro plant, they were having a big celebration. And they'd invited Joachim Ronnenberg to come as their guest of honor to talk about what happened back in 1943.
Wow.
And one of his best lines at the event was, he said to me, do you know, he said, it must be the first time ever somebody's been invited as guest of honor to a dinner after he's blown up one of their factories.
Yeah, I can imagine so.
So, such a modest man and perfect English. I have a lot of Norwegian friends and a large number of people in Norway speak English better than we do. But he spoke perfectly, and he's such a modest man, you know. I said, heroes of Telemark, he said, we weren't heroes. He said, we were young men doing a job that needed doing. And, you know, he was 23 when he led this mission. Can you imagine, you know, guys listening to the program today at 23, you're just starting out in life.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, they thought it was a suicide mission. They all carried cyanide tablets so they could kill themselves if it went wrong. Can you imagine that?
Did they really? Wow. Yeah, that is amazing. And to think not only the risk of parachuting in and setting explosives and hoping you can get away, but the amazing lengths they had to go to. It sounds like they parachuted in and then had an incredibly long journey from there to get where they had to go. And they must have, I'm guessing, parachuted in with explosives on their backs if they were blowing up an entire factory. They had to carry all that with them, correct?
Yeah, you're hitting the ground, as you say, carrying explosives and detonators. And the thing that Joachim was carrying, which made me laugh out loud, he'd been in London not long before, and he'd gone shopping. And he was passing a hardware store, and he saw this little pair of shears, like bolt cutters.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, I wonder if they'd come in handy. So he bought some himself, put them in his bag along with the explosives. And when they actually got round the back of the plant they wanted to sabotage, there was just one thing stopping them, a chain. So he took these little bolt cutters he bought in London out of his pocket and snipped through it. Without them, they couldn't have got in.
Huh. It would have sabotaged the entire project. That's amazing.
Yeah. And he said after the war, he sent a bill for the bolt cutters to the Minister of Defence in London. And he's still waiting for the money.
How big was the factory, and how many explosives in general do you think they had to put down?
About a dozen, I believe, because the place that was there, I think you mentioned in your excellent introduction, that the factory had been there a while, and they were actually making this heavy water for fertilizer use, so the factory's already there. And when the Germans invaded Norway, they took it over, and as you said, the heavy water, key component of an atomic weapon. So it had been there a while, and once Joachim and his team got inside, they identified where they needed to be, and they planted about a dozen explosives on the big tanks where the water was, the cables, the control panels, to make sure it was all well and truly destroyed. And all of the tanks went, all of the water went down into the river, and by the time it blew up, they were out of the place, and as you say, chased by about 3,000 soldiers, but Norwegian guys can ski very well, and they didn't have a chance of catching them, really.
All right, so that's, and this is what I didn't know. So I don't know why, as I'm picturing it from the story I read, I'm just picturing them outside the plant, you know, planting explosives at various points. So they actually got in. Was this after hours?
Yeah.
Was there nobody there as they were sneaking around planting the bombs?
Well, that's the amazing thing. I mean, as you mentioned, if you can picture this huge ravine, if you imagine the Grand Canyon, but a bit smaller, but not much. They couldn't go across the bridge because obviously it was heavily defended with armed soldiers. So the way they did it, remember this is ice and snow on the ground, they abseiled down, way down, you know, about the height of the Grand Canyon, crossed a frozen river by stepping across a little ice bridge, then abseiled up the other side. They couldn't go in the front of the plant, it was too heavily defended, so they went round the back, they used these bolt cutters to clip their way in, and then managed, they couldn't get through the next door. But Joachim told me he noticed there was a huge tunnel which carried pipes and cables, and they were quite fit young men, so they managed to wriggle in, can you believe, along there, pulling the explosives behind them.
Oh,
and Joachim told me when I interviewed him at one point that the bag behind him, which had explosives and detonators, got stuck. So he got hold of it and tugged it really hard, and it sprang free and hit him in the face. But can you imagine that, sir? Have a sack full of explosives and detonators. Hits you in the face. It would clear my mind, that kind of thing happening. But, yeah, he gets through. And the little story he told me, I don't know if this has ever been public, Matt, so you can have this scoop. When he got in there, it was pitch black. All the lights were off. And they managed to just see one guy who's sitting in the control room who was a Norwegian. He wasn't a German soldier. So they pointed a gun at him and told him what they were going to do. And said, look, you're going to have to come with us, because if you stay here, the Germans will presume you were part of the raid and you'll be shot. So he said, okay, I'm coming. He said, but I must find my glasses. He dropped his spectacles on the floor, so he's trying to find them in the dark. So Joachim and the rest of the sabotage team and this guy, can you picture this? Pitch black. They've got half the German army outside, and they're scrabbling around to try to find the guy's glasses before he'd leave. So they find them, then he does. And they took him with him, as you said, 200 miles to Sweden to save his life.
Wow, that is amazing. And a good thing, I guess, that that guy was on board and not, you know, a Nazi sympathizer or anything like that, right?
Yeah, nobody with a gun. But what I was really pleased with, this interview I did with Joachim some while back now, I think you mentioned for a long time after the war, he wouldn't talk about it much. Yeah. And like a lot of brave people, you know, you must have met people. And I remember interviewing people who landed at D-Day or landed during invasion of the islands in the Pacific during the war. And guys who've seen the worst of war will often not want to say much about it. But when I did the interview with him at this conference, happily, there were some young guys there, some young men and women who worked for Hydro, and they'd never heard the story before. And I remember saying to Joachim on stage, look, it's really important you let these young people know how it was, because, you know, happily, a lot of us have not seen war. But can you imagine, you know, you mentioned about nuclear bombs. Joachim said, you're right, Alan, he said, the story needs to be told. He said, can you imagine if they had built a nuclear weapon, you know, the pictures we've seen of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the atomic bombs in 45, that would have been how London or New York or Los Angeles looked. Yeah. If the Germans had had the atomic bomb, I mean, it was as important as that.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it would have changed the course of everything. I think there's a TV show on, I don't watch, but about what if, you know, we would have lost World War II and what would things be like now? It would have changed everything. I imagine there would have been war for a long time, or, you know, I can't imagine things would have gone on like they are now. I imagine there still would have been war going on and resistance forever. Yeah. So it's, people like that are amazing that did the small pieces that led to the overall victory. Now, that factory was rebuilt. Is there a factory there today, a hydro facility?
There's still a hydro facility. After Joachim and his team had bombed it, it was out of action for about 5 months, and the Germans tried to rebuild it. And the day they finished rebuilding it, the Royal Air Force bombed it and destroyed it again. But it was quite hard to get the actual heavy water, because it was way down in a cellar under a mountain, effectively. Mm. And it could drop really heavy bombs and it wouldn't make much difference. But what really finished them off, as the war started to go the way of the British and the Americans and their allies, they realized that very soon they wouldn't be able to hold Norway. So what they tried to do was take all the facility back to Germany, away from the bombers. So they had everything they needed, crossing a lake near the plant. So the bit of heavy water they had, plus all the machinery, all of the technical stuff, and some other saboteurs, friends of Joachim, actually put a mine on the ferry and timed it so it blew up in the middle of the lake and sank the lot. So that was the end of the German nuclear program. Because the amazing thing about Joachim, it wasn't just this thing he did. He continued right through the war, acts of sabotage, you know, blowing up railway lines and all the rest of it. But the thing I could never forget meeting the man, you know, you sometimes see a sports story and, you know, somebody gets a touchdown or whatever and people call him a hero. I mean, he's a good football player, but he's not a hero. Joachim Ronnenberg certainly was just the most amazing man. And I've had the pleasure as a speaker of, you know, getting around the world and telling his story. And it's young people who always get me. I remember talking in a university recently, so the audience were between about 18 and 22. They'd never heard the story before. And one young lady came to me, and she said, that was incredible. She said, I hadn't realized that without one guy, you know, and she was looking out, and we had the Union flag, the British flag flying outside the university. She said, without him, that would have been a swastika. And yeah, it's exactly like that. You know, you sound as though you're like me, a bit of a fan of alternative history and alternative fiction, and the series I'm watching at the moment, The Man in the High Castle.
That's the one I was referring to, right? Man in High Castle, yes.
Yeah.
It's
incredible. I'd recommend it to anybody who hasn't seen it. It's on Amazon. And they always kick off with their opening map, and the eastern half of the United States is part of the...
Oh, we lost you there for a second, Alan. Are you there? Ah! I guess we're not set to get the spoiler for Man in High Castle. Just we lost Alan, I think, there for a second. I'll tell you what, we'll take a commercial break, see if we can reconnect with him. We'll be back, 720 WGN. I think we were able to reconnect with Alan. Let me see if I've got him back there. Alan, sir, are you there?
Yeah, standing by, Matt.
Sorry about that. We had a little trouble with the phone. I forget what you were saying now as we lost you on the air there a minute or two ago. But
I was talking about the effect on young people. Say I have the pleasure on the speaking circuit sometimes with universities, and I remember a young woman, she was only 19, 20 perhaps. She'd never heard the story before, and she was staggered at what a difference, you know, one guy and his friends had made to history. You know, quite incredible, really.
Yeah, and that, and then you were telling us about the Hightstown show, and you were saying that at the beginning they start with a map, and what is it, the eastern half of the United States?
Yeah, they have the eastern half of the United States, part of the German Nazi Empire, then there's a kind of neutral zone down the middle, kind of Rockies and so on, and on the western half is part of the Japanese Empire. And, you know, we often forget how close it came, and because I was born, I guess, not long after the war, I have this fascination. I grew up being told about uncles I never met who had lost their lives during the war, and I always wanted to find out more and more about what happened.
Yeah.
And I guess people like Joachim Wallenberg, they're a symbol of the incredible number of young people from all over the world who lost their lives to keep freedom. And I remember a little while back, I was making a documentary about D-Day, and it was across in France going around the D-Day beaches and the cemeteries there.
Yes.
And you get so much of a feel of this. And you're looking at gravestones of young guys who, I think the youngest one I saw was 17, who lost his life during D-Day. And I took my grandson with me, and I think it's so important for young people to get a feel of this, and happy that he's got this book for history now. And I was so proud, you know, we were walking through the American cemetery in Normandy, and the sun was shining, it was a beautiful day. And there are all these, it's heartbreaking, all these white memorial stones, and normally the lettering's in black. And we could see from a distance, the sun was catching one gravestone picked out with gold lettering. And the leader of the group said to us, does anybody know why it's gold? And none of us did, including me and my grandson, said, is it because he held the Medal of Honor? And it was. And we got up to the gravestone. It was Theodore Roosevelt Jr.
Wow.
And anybody who held the Medal of Honor was given gold letters on his stone. And you're looking at these, you know, young men who gave their lives. And without these guys who lost their lives all over the world, you know, during the early 40s, we wouldn't be sitting having this conversation now. You and I would have, you know, Secret Service guy on our shoulder telling us to be careful what we say and all the rest of it. You know, freedom would have completely gone.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Alan, I've been to London and I've been in the war rooms and they're amazing. And I've been over to Normandy and I've been in that cemetery. And it is breathtaking to stand there and think about and to really be there and to think about what happened on that soil and the sacrifices that were made and the whole world kind of coming together to fight against that. It is a magnificent piece of history, and thank you for helping tell the story of Joachim Wallenberg, one of the great resistance fighters of World War II, who maybe without him we wouldn't be able to be here having this conversation today. Alan, where can people find out a little bit more about you? Is there a website where they can see what you've been presenting or writing or anything like that? Can we visit you online?
Yeah, it's you can do it two ways, Matt. The easy way, if you just Google my name's Alan, A-L-A-N, and Wright is W-R-I-G-H-T, so Alan Wright, and speaker, as in speaker at conferences. So perhaps the easiest way, if you Google Alan Wright speaker, it'll take you right to my website, and if you'd like that one, it's three W's dot, then all one word, after dinner speaker, alanwright.co.uk, and that'll always find me day or night.
So after dinner speaker, Alan Wright, all one word, after dinner speaker, Alan Wright, dot UK or dot co.uk?
Dot co.uk.
Dot co.uk. And do you have a Twitter handle or anything like that, Alan?
Yeah, sure. But my, I'm getting so technical now to say, you know, when I used to work in broadcasting, we edited tapes with a razor blade and a yellow pencil. So I was there a long time. But it's the Twitter one. It's at Alan Hartlepool. Hartlepool is my hometown. So at Alan Hartlepool at Alan Hartlepool. That'll find me on Twitter, Matt.
Sounds great. Alan, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. I hope we talk again.
I hope we will, and I'll wave to you shortly. I'm speaking in the United States the week after next, so changing planes at JFK. I'll wave to Chicago on the way past and then down to Colombia in South America.
Oh, excellent. Well, have a great trip, and we'll stay in touch.
Look forward to seeing you again. Thanks,
all right,
Matt.
Sir, thank you very much. Again, Joachim Wallenberg, check out the story online and make sure to listen to this podcast or share it with people who you think might enjoy hearing that story, because it is amazing. And now I'm going to have to look for the movie from 1956 1965, Heroes of Telemark, starring Kirk Douglas. I never heard of it, but I will take a look for it now.
Good movie.
You've seen it, Raj?
Mm-hmm.
All right, 4:31 in the morning. Let's check some headlines with Mr. Baddish. Thanks for being with us. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Matt Bubala with you here for 23 more minutes. Orion will be coming up with that morning show in just a little bit. 312-981-7200 on the text line 630. Brian writes, great interview. My stepdad was a Norwegian that left occupied Norway and joined the U.S. Army. Thanks. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate that. I'm going to watch that this week, Raj. In fact, I'm going to see. I don't know if that would be on Amazon or on Netflix or anything, but The Heroes of Telemark. You say it was a good movie?
You could probably get it on Amazon. It's, you know, there were a rash of World War II movies that came out within a couple of years of each other. And this was one of those that just didn't get the exposure that some of the other bigger ones got. It didn't have the really big name stars or director. But it was still... It was still a good war movie. You know, Guns of Navarone came out about the same time, I think. Mm-hmm. I think maybe The Longest Day came out within the same year or so. So there were a lot of other movies that had more bigger name talent and bigger named directors and got more of a studio push. And so Heroes of Telemark did not get all of that. But it was still a good movie. It was a good war movie.
Texter says the movie Where Eagles Dare was made about this mission.
Where Eagles Dare, that's Clint Eastwood.
Okay. I don't know that movie, and I don't know if that is about
that
this
was an okay... I had no frame of reference when I saw these long time ago when they came out. I didn't have this story as the frame of reference.
Right.
So, to me, it was just a war movie. You know what I'm saying? And so, Where Eagles Dare, I mean... Clint Eastwood didn't look like he was happy making this movie. Yeah, really. I mean, that's how I didn't care much for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Heroes of Telemark, Kirk Douglas. I'm going to check that out from 1965. We'll see if we can find that online anywhere. Jumping back to the little rant I went on before we got to Ellen at 4 a.m., I was talking, a caller had brought up the pipe bomber guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the caller went on a bit of a rant about right-wing stuff. And I did say that, I do believe that this is the danger of the rhetoric that has taken place in politics today. And I'm sorry, but I do blame that part on President Trump. That, you can like his politics, you can like all these things, and that's fine. I'm fine with all that. But one thing that is certainly a negative about him is the way he incites chants of lock her up I'd beat him up or this or that. All these things that he does, the very unpresidential things, having these rallies all the time, getting people all lathered up, calling the press the enemy of the people. Those are insightful things. And a couple of texters are yelling at me that the left does it too. And I'm sorry, tell me where the left does this. I don't see it from the left. 312 writes, how about NBC withholding information that would have cast serious doubt on the wild claims by Avenatti about Brett Kavanaugh? Trump says NBC is fake news. Seems to me Trump is right. NBC withholding information that would have cast serious doubt. All right, so I don't know about that. I haven't read that story that NBC withheld information that would have cast doubt. Here's what I would say about that. Those claims got very little play at all in the end. If you think about what happened when Avenatti finally comes forward with that and it gets reported that day, nobody kept following up on that. That story completely died because my guess is there was not, and I don't know, but the media could have gone to town with that. My guess is once it came out, it gets revealed because Avenatti does this, I'm going to reveal, and he's giving these salacious details and leading into it. So then it is a news story because it was a news story. I imagine Fox might have even reported that when he first announced it. But then as people dug in, and I'd love to see a little follow-up on, was there any truth to any of that? Or what happened with that? I want to say, and I don't recall exactly, but I want to say that I read that person, who was quoted in that had made a bunch of outlandish claims before about other things. And so I think that one died very quickly. And I think, luckily for the Democratic Party, Michael Avenatti kind of died with that too. I don't think he is taken seriously at all anymore. I don't think he should be. I think he is not what the left side needs by any means. And so I don't know how we're equating President Trump's rhetoric and how he talks with that. I don't think, you know, NBC not revealing some information about a story. They quit reporting on the story is my guess, and didn't, you know, it's not, if you said, hey, NBC had doubts about that story and they kept running it over and over and over again and they kept pushing it. They didn't. But you've got Rush Limbaugh saying that, oh, these stickers were placed on this van. This doesn't look right. This isn't real. You know, people that keep doing stuff like that.
Well, if you remember before they had found this guy and arrested him, that there were many in the news media who were claiming, going on air and claiming that these were false.
That these were Democrats setting
these
out, too.
Democratically placed, yeah.
And boy, when they started saying they're going to make arrests today, I was thinking, God, please don't let this be some Democrat who is doing this. Because I could, you know, I would. Now the thought is, Clinton's telling them to do this or whatever. I don't think anybody is plotting that. But it just as easily could have been some really far left person saying, this is how we're going to blah, blah, blah. And having done that, I could see that as well. I could see that happening. Mm-hmm. To me, that wasn't out of the realm of possibility. It wasn't. Now, somebody texted me about Maxine Waters, and that's interesting. Maxine Waters, when I think this happened when people first started harassing senators at restaurants, or somebody who got run out of, who like left the restaurant. I think
there
might have been
several people.
There have been several now. Mitch McConnell most recently. Maybe Sessions, but I think it was Ted Cruz was one of the first ones I thought.
And
that
there
ended
were also some staff people, like in the Trump White House.
Right.
There were some staff people who were run out of restaurants, or at least verbally accosted in restaurants.
Right. And Maxine Waters did something I thought was awful at the time. I believe I said it on the air if we talked about it. She held a press conference saying, yeah, do it. Run them out of the restaurants. Let them know what you think. Now, to me, that wasn't inciting violence, but that is a slippery slope. That is something we should not be doing. We should not be. Listen, people should hear your opinion. People should hear from you. But we do need more civility, and the left has to stay above that crap. And I was very disappointed in Maxine Waters at the time for doing that. And I know people on the left are very frustrated as well. But you have to fight back with votes, by getting out the vote, harassing people and throwing them out of restaurants, things like that. This just stirs up the base of the other side. That does not help. It's funny. So I got the news channels on, and on Fox News right now, they're showing a replay of Tucker Carlson. And it says extremely creepy porn lawyer. So I guess here is the story that Fox News is putting out. And if this is where you're getting it from, then I've got a tinge of let's wait and see what this story really is, because I'm certainly not going to believe necessarily whatever Tucker Carlson is saying. So if NBC did cover for him, I don't know that story. I'll read up on it. We can talk more about that next week.
Well, you mentioned the Avenatti. Or NBC News withholding.
So it's somebody texted information. About, yeah.
No, well, yeah, but I looked it up.
Okay.
And I looked it up. I Googled it. And on the first page, there were about 9 links to that story. All, it was Fox, Breitbart, Limbaugh, and Republican-linked media outlets. I did not see CBS, I did not see ABC, I did not see Reuters, I did not see Associated Press. I just didn't see.
Well, we'll have to look up what
the
that
other
is.
News agencies
the thing
reporting
that's,
this.
Oh, weeks later she recanted the story to NBC News reporters.
Mm-hmm. That's what these outlets reported, and they claimed that NBC withheld that information for the Kavanaugh hearings.
Tucker also says CBS had information, but they didn't tell anybody. But
No, he's covering it right now.
So you can claim all that, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But that wasn't even being discussed in the Kavanaugh hearings. They did not, the FBI wasn't looking into that. That didn't get brought up at all. I mean, that didn't end up being part of it other than Avenatti held a press conference and said all this. It didn't get taken all that seriously, and I don't think any of those outlets truly even reported very much on it. I'd have to go back and look. I think when he announced it, it was out there. And then I think right afterwards, people are like, oh, we got to quit reporting on this. There's not much credibility here. And so, you know, that happens. The crazy thing Avenatti did today that was out was him saying that the Democrats need a white man.
That was a couple of days ago, yeah.
Well, and that's just coming out, though, right?
Right, right.
That he's saying
well,
that.
Well, actually, I mean, he said it a couple of days ago, and I was reading it a couple of days ago.
But maybe it's just not really
right
getting
away.
Maybe it's now just getting picked up. We finally had a slow day.
Yeah.
And so it's
slow day.
It's getting picked up by people. But he just imploded, and I'm glad he did. He's a mess, and the leftists, God, they do not need him as a talking head. Quite honestly, you know what? Stormy Daniels, I want to see run for office before I want to see Michael Avenatti get elected to anything. 312-981-7200. Orion's coming up, 720 WGN. Matt Pabala here with you for a few more minutes on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. If you're just waking up, we're live from the Allstate Skyline Studios here on Wacker Drive, looking out at our old Tribune Tower building that is... Well, we can only see a little bit of it, but it really looks like from what little you can see when you drive by it, especially in the middle of the night when it's all dark out and you can see lights just shining through entire rows of the building. Like it's just getting completely cleaned out and re-gutted, and it'll be very interesting to see when those apartments go up for sale.
By the way, I received today, finally, it was well worth the rate.
Yes.
And I thank one of our Tribune cohorts for rescuing it and delivering it. When the news department was on the fourth floor in what many called the news aquarium,
right?
We were on the same floor in the same space with the Tribune editorial staff. In fact, right outside the breaking news desk, and along the top of the outside of our little newsroom were plaques for all of the Tribune properties, CLTV, WGN-TV, Chicago Tribune, and WGN Radio. And I thought they were very, very inexpensive, thin, copper-type plaques that would just stick up on the wall. And they were there because it was a backdrop for the TV setup that they had there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the CLTV Channel 9 would broadcast live from there if some newsmaker came in to talk to Tribune. And so as they started to dismantle that floor longer after we had left, those plaques started to disappear. And I made a connection with Liam Ford, one of the reporters over there.
Sure.
And he finally brought over yesterday the plaque for WGN Radio.
Oh, cool.
So we now have that, and I'm hoping they'll put it behind us on this wall behind us here, which has been empty and kind of barren since we moved in. I think it looked beautiful up there.
Yeah, that would our big letters still out in the hallway by the elevator?
Yeah, WGN still there.
The 3 foot tall letters.
Yeah. What was next to it? WGN Radio, right?
Yes.
On the
it
wall?
It said radio. We didn't get all those letters, I guess.
Who else is going to use those?
I don't know. Maybe they're melting them down and recycling them. I don't know.
Jeez.
It's a lot of metal.
Yeah.
We've got Orion. We'll check in with Orion in just a minute. A couple people texted, how about the attack on Senator Rand Paul by his neighbor? And, of course, the gunman who shot at the Republican baseball game practice
right.
a couple years ago has been brought up by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, there are attacks from time to time. There's no doubt about that. You're right. There was John Hinckley Jr. shot President Reagan.
Yeah.
And we didn't blame Democrats for that because Democrats aren't out calling for fighting with people, calling people the enemy of the people, or chanting lock her up. There's you can say, oh, these things happen on this other side, but then tell me, yeah, and I blame President Obama because of blank. What did he ever say? What did he ever do? I mean, what are the things that were said that were Am I missing where there was incitement from the other side for those two incidents? I don't think so. Sarah Sanders was run out of a restaurant. She's another one. And yeah, Maxine Waters, you can be mad at Maxine Waters, and I will agree. That doesn't help, and I don't know why she did that. That shouldn't be done. I condemn Maxine Waters for saying, yeah, run them out of, and people like Bill Maher or whoever else on the far left who are saying, yeah, we should take that tact with people. I completely disagree with that. Left needs to go back to the Michelle Obama ways, and when they go low, we go high. And I know that, you know, what people on the far left are arguing is, hey, that doesn't win us elections, that doesn't do these things, that doesn't do these things. But if
but
we
you
all keep-
should not, you should not have to depend on attacking other people and inciting other people in order to win elections. You should be speaking on the issues. You should be telling people what can
Roger,
be done.
Should and would and all those things are fairy dust and unicorns. And people are looking at what gets elections. And President Trump won the election. And he did it the way he did it. Okay?
Yeah.
And so other people are looking at it like, hey, if that's how we got to play, then that's how we got to play. And I disagree with it. It's not how we should be doing it. Quick break. We'll say hi to Orion next, 720 WGN. Thank you very much for hanging out with us, everybody. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next weekend at 1 a.m. on Saturday morning. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. First, let's say good morning to Orion Samuelson.